Jeff Donnebike.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hello. Oh, yeah.
Playing the percentages.
We'll be doing that in a moment.
Oh, that's the newest version.
Yeah, but first we should have played this at the beginning of yesterday's show.
What?
Yesterday was Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And for a long time, we had stock in trade on the crazy zoo DJ morning wedding stunts. I mean, we did the mass marriages, we did the divorces, we did the naked weddings, we did the get yourself dipped in chocolate,
right.
we did the ex-wives against ex-husbands on the Family Feud. Mm-hmm.
We did it all.
We did.
Did we do an Elvis wedding, too?
I don't know. Did we, Rob?
Don't think so.
See, I'm just seeing if you'll answer.
See, I mean, you give me 30 of them, and I mention one, and I'm wrong.
See, I was just quizzing Rob if that would be one of the times that he would be making up when he would work with us.
No, I don't remember it, but it could have predated me.
Okay. And we went to intercourse.
We did a huge Elvis wedding.
How was it?
It was all in the air.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyway, here's a tape from... Here's a tape from many, many years ago,
yeah,
when we were one of the first DJs to do a mass Mooney-style wedding, and then crazy, as we were,
yeah,
take all the people to Roy Rogers.
We were the craziest.
Yeah, we were. So, anyway, wanted to play it yesterday, but the tape was broken.
14 Washington-area couples celebrated Valentine's Day the old-fashioned way this morning. They got married. How romantic. But it was not your basic wedding ceremony. No, ma'am. This was a wedding to remember.
It was a solemn ceremony, sort of.
And it's the video revolution. We're being videotaped from every conceivable angle right now.
How long is this limo? How long is this limo?
68 feet
of limo. Unbelievable.
Excuse me. Why are you marrying him?
And the couples gathered for only the most solemn of reasons.
We're thinking about going to Las Vegas and do it, but we figured that this would be even tackier than that, so we went with this.
Crazy edit, huh? Be my baby.
Nervous family members assembled under a wedding tent and shared in the emotional moment of the occasion.
Well, she's 8 months pregnant. She's due next month.
Nervous laugh.
I have it here.
First time in my life I ever rode in a limousine. But he paid for it and made us feel good. But I thought, gee whiz, the first time, and he's bringing me to a parking lot.
The wedding vows were slated to begin at 7 a.m. in the parking lot of the WAVA radio station studios on Lee Highway in Arlington.
Yeah.
The families were there more or less on time.
Right now, he's about 25 minutes late. He's supposed to be here by 7.
Nervous
I already
laugh.
Backed into their car this morning.
Nervous
no,
laugh.
I'm not nervous.
Everyone remained cool, calm, and collected.
I'm scared I'm going to walk down the aisle and break my neck and both of my legs.
Barn, the Reverend. This is like a Super Bowl. Where they introduce him? What is your name, sir?
Andrew Blanco.
It's Andrew.
Go.
All right.
Your name, sir?
Mark Cortina.
Thank you, Mark.
Go.
Marriage is a joyous occasion, and it brings to mind all those thoughts of home, loved ones, friendship, good times, happiness, longevity. I take the man's name to my wedded husband.
The ceremony was broadcast live on Don and Mike's Morning Drive radio show. And after all 28 vows had been said, Don and Mike showed their appreciation to the Valentine couples,
yeah,
by dunking themselves in a vat of Hershey's chocolate.
We did it all, didn't we?
Yeah.
The newlyweds celebrated with a first-class, grade-A, top-drawer reception right next door at Roy Rogers.
Hi. That's Eyewitness News at 4.
Stay tuned now as the news continues with J.C. Hayward and Bob Altman. We'll see you tomorrow. Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's so romantic.
You know, that's just from the been there, done that file.
Yes.
Looking back.
For those of you...
That doesn't embarrass me as much as some of the things we've done.
For those of you who occasionally, you know, hanker back for the good old days.
Yeah, the good old days.
Yeah.
We weren't... No, I'm not going to say it.
When we would do...
When we weren't working at radio stations with juggling lineups.
But still, that's garbage. That's crap. I mean, we did it because at the time, no one else was doing garbage and crap like that.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun garbage and crap.
Yeah, but to be the first to do fun garbage and crap. But, yeah. But now it's sadly, it's passé. I read in one of the trade publications here, some station is getting huge publicity because they're giving away a divorce on Valentine's Day.
Well, How many years ago did we do that?
Yeah, that's the point.
Didn't we go right down the street and do that?
Yeah, and the other thing, our greatest Valentine's Day ever, back in the pre-FCC days, was taking the people to Intercourse, Pennsylvania.
That's right. Yes.
Where we rented out an entire hotel.
Yes. And where they could fulfill their marital obligations.
Yeah.
It was delightful.
A guy broke the headboard.
Yeah.
I remember, at the place.
Yeah, we actually walked in with microphones. While people were actually, over us doing that.
Yeah. But
on a sink. Remember the sink?
I remember the sink.
That was the only time we all actually saw it happen.
Yeah.
But what's sad is, that thing from me and Mike from 15, 16 years ago, however long ago it was, we would do the show, and the show was okay because it was goofy and funny, but that is what we would go home and we would go crazy about. We'd call each other and go, oh, my God. Did you see that? We are on the news.
Yeah. Being on TV.
Do you see that?
Being on TV was very, very exciting. Do you remember when you used to physically walk in front of me when they turned the camera on? Remember
sorry.
That little habit you had?
That was fun.
I still remember
Didn't
that.
Didn't I grow out of that, though?
Yes, you grew out of that. He'd actually, in the very, very early days, we'd be standing shoulder to shoulder.
I apologize again, but I'll publicly apologize, Mike.
They would sit there with a camera, and they'd always want an interview. And then sometimes they'd interview us individually, sometimes shoulder to shoulder. And when the camera would go on, Dom would actually take a step forward and then slide across in front of me.
I know.
And it was not anything, it was not premeditated.
It was an ass move.
It was a complete reflex action.
Excitement. He was excited.
Oh, for you.
We used to be very, very excited about the TV.
Yeah. Well, I apologize about that. I worked my way out of that.
Yeah.
Just let me say, back then, TV was exciting and new.
We loved being on the TV.
We did. We were such saps for it.
Now we turn them down.
Yeah, yes. Right.
Now they want to come in and we say no.
Right.
It gets in the way.
Look at that discipline.
Go to hell. Go to the standing line in hell. Find yourself a DJ. Oh, are you ready to play?
Play the percentages.
Not to be confused with
the intruder.
Or
all or nothing. Percentages.
We've got them all for you today. Now we will not be playing.
Or nothing.
All or nothing. I'm sorry about that. We won't be playing
the intruder.
No. Right. We will be playing.
Playing the percentages.
It's exciting.
Here's how we play the percentages.
Playing the percentages.
There are 5 groaners.
Okay.
What percentage of the groaners, how many out of 5 came from Rob and how many came from the service?
Right.
Hence the name.
Playing the percentages.
Okay, so
percentages.
Here we go.
So you're saying there are 3 big ways to win big.
All right, how does it work again?
Playing the percentages.
Like there are 5 of these.
5?
Yeah.
Right.
If you think Rob wrote 1, you would say he wrote 20%. If you think he wrote 2, you would say 20%. 3, 60%.
You'd say 40%.
40% if you wrote 2.
Whatever with
and
the
so
math.
On. 3, yeah. 60%.
Well, actually,
yes.
You don't have to. You just have to get the number correctly. And the number corresponds
but
to the percentage.
But I mean, no, then we're not playing the percentages.
Okay,
right.
Rob,
the percentages.
What are the percentages?
Well, it could be 0%, 20%, 40%, 60%, 100%, or 80%.
Yes. Give us all those choices. What are the combinations with each one?
Well, if I wrote no groaners,
yeah,
0%.
Right. And good. If I wrote 1?
20%.
And if I wrote 5?
100%.
That's right. And if I wrote 3?
60%.
Or 4?
80%.
Or 2?
40%.
And that is how we
play the percentages.
That's right. You follow that, Buzz?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Great.
And you should have said, and that means we are
playing the percentages.
Here we go.
We'll fix it when we go on the air.
I lost
after the rehearsal.
I always like telling fellow players, I lost in rehearsal today.
It's all right.
Tough game.
Tougher than we've had.
Yep. What is Bill Cosby's favorite Beatles song?
What?
Roofies in the sky with diamonds.
Okay.
Wow. What? Oh, yes.
Playing.
What?
The percentages.
What reality show combines eating bugs with a pan flute musical soundtrack? Zam Fear Factor.
Playing. The percentages.
What's Bill Cosby's favorite rock album? Jagged Little Pill. Well, it's because he drugged.
Yeah, I understand.
Right.
I
don't need to explain.
Right.
Is that what you meant when you wrote that one, Rob? Oh, oops.
Oops, careful.
Or am I playing you? What comedy team loves marijuana and Chinese food?
Which one?
Cheech and Chong.
Playing the percentages.
And one more. What 80s TV show had characters trying to avoid chemical spills?
Which one?
The Dukes of Biohazard.
Playing the percentages.
Okay, you need a hey now, Mike.
Hey now. Sorry, I'm thinking.
So let's review.
We're doing the math.
You got Roofies in the Sky with Diamonds, the Zam Fear Factor, Jagged Little Pill, Cheech and Chong, and the Dukes of Biohazard. We are ready to play the percentages.
Playing the percentages.
I've already forgotten the percentage, so Rob, step up here. Mike first. Mike, I'm sorry, I see you first yesterday. Buzz, what are the percentages of Gurners from Rob?
I'm going to say 60%.
And he's, well, hold on, let's say it. Mike.
I'm going to say 20%.
Rob?
Ooh, a double loser. The correct answer
is
40%.
40%. What does that mean for those of us who...
It means you wrote two out of the five.
Yeah, which two?
I wrote Zam Fear Factor.
A good one.
And Cheech and Chong.
That sucked.
But Zam Fear Factor was good.
See, you know what fooled me in the run-through was the Bill Cosby's, because yes. I was positive one of those had to be from the service.
Zam Fear Factor. But that's what happens every time. We are...
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to go.
Here we go. Introduce him.
The intruder.
Listen, I didn't have time for your whole intro.
That's
today.
Right. How have you been?
How have you been, Robbie?
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Inflatable Palm Tree.
Yeah.
And all the ships at sea. When they lay it out, they play it out.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Barra.
Hello.
The Don and Mike Show. Let's get returned to here. New episode on this Tuesday.
Tuesday 0215.
Hi, Don and Mike.
05.
Buzz Burbank here.
Let's get retarded. Thank you, Buzz. Hi, it's Don and Mike Show. New episode. It's the day after Tuesday, February 15th, 2005. Call us from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636.
And you just called the day after, the day after Valentine's Day? Is that
No, Mike, no. The day after
tomorrow?
Yesterday.
The day after yesterday.
Oh, yes. After Monday. Canada, Mexico, 800-636-1067.
That movie the day after.
Washington, D.C. on WJFK FM, 202-432-1067. No, things are cool.
Good.
Things are cool.
Glad to hear it.
We work through. Listen, this is the thing with marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you compromise, and then you realize you're stuck with each other, and then you make the best of it.
That's right.
Well, not always.
Last night, I got home, and my wife... Listen, thanks, Buzz.
Free to your wife?
Yes. Was listening to the show, and noticed, she said to me, you seem to have had a kind of negative tone in your voice about the whole Valentine's Day experience.
Huh. I didn't notice any negativity.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it, buddy. Because I know you give me the honest feedback. Thank you.
Didn't hear a negative word didn't come out of your mouth.
So I sat down. She was playing the piano. Because, you know, she's refined and I pick my nose. She was playing away, and I sat down, and
the Phantom of the Opera is here. Sorry. I didn't know what she was playing.
I sat down, and I said, you know, whatever, with this thing, I keep saying Thanksgiving, this whole thing with Valentine's Day, you know, I guess I screwed up, you know, sorry. And then she said, Well, it's okay. It's just, in my entire life, the worst Valentine's Day ever.
Oh, dear.
Of my entire life.
Wow.
That's a low score.
And I said,
a new record.
Okay, well, I guess that's it. And she said, I guess that's it.
Yeah.
And I said, are we having dinner? She said, I've had dinner. I said, she said, yours is in the warming drawer. I said, okay, thanks. Thanks, baby. So I went and had some of the, the warmed up dinner, which was good. And then we watched 24, and everything was cool. Good 24. I'd like to talk in depth about that. Then we got done with that. We went upstairs. We watched a little CSI. We went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Got up this morning, I came downstairs, was having the coffee, sat down, and maybe the second thing that she said to me, I said, hey, baby, good morning. I don't say good morning. That's a lie. I don't
say, hey, baby, good morning.
No, I don't say good morning, but I do say, hey, baby, or something like that. You know,
hello, babe.
No, I give her, hey, baby.
Some kind of greeting.
Something like that. Yeah. And I sat down with the newspaper. Put on my old man glasses to read it. Uh-huh. And she said, do you think you have a problem with depression?
Hey.
Oh, oh my. First thing she said?
Wow.
Yeah. I said, God, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. And then she said, just something to think about.
Random thought.
Just a random thought. It was in and out, and then things seemed to be, pretty much okay.
I'm glad you worked it all out.
Thanks.
That sounds great.
Glad it all got worked out.
Listen, that's how you work things out.
That's right.
That's right.
You think you have?
Why wouldn't I feel great about the conclusion of the last 48 hours? I mean, God knows I'm going to lose a lot of sleep because it was the worst. I know I'm being facetious, and I meant what I said yesterday really about Valentine's Day and the pressure it puts on all of us.
That's
but
true.
On the other hand, now with my wife, I mean, I don't know how serious she is about this.
Mm-hmm.
The worst Valentine's Day ever.
Well, they can't all be good.
Couldn't there have been one like when you were 13 and some kid was a jerk to you?
Yeah, I suppose.
It must have been.
I mean, I did give you a Barnes & Noble gift card.
Yeah, she got a gift.
When you asked for nothing. But
the mind tends to block out bad memories.
She'll tell you what she wants is the gift that can't be bought. You know, the gift of, time and sharing and, doing something that...
I got a worse one.
That she loves.
Really? I've got a couple of them.
What?
When I wouldn't have anybody in, to have get a Valentine. Right after marriages, that's when that happens. When a lot of people have that.
Mm-hmm.
She got a gift. That's a good thing, you were thinking of her. It's a rough Valentine's when you don't have anybody thinking of
that's
you.
That's true.
Well,
that's a very good point.
Listen, men and women. Same thing.
She's not mad. I hope. I pray she's not mad.
Of course.
At least the last time I spoke to her, she's not mad.
She's got the worst one ever.
The worst Valentine's Day ever.
Wow.
That's a quote. I ain't calling her to bring all this up. If she wants to call, it's her call.
She's probably forgotten the worst one.
Well, no. How could she? It was just
the
last
mind
night.
Blocks
well,
that
I
out.
Think I think usually even if somebody, unless you're like childhood sweethearts, usually every adult will have probably a time in their life when there's not somebody in their life. Maybe
Sure.
Did I just make any sense with that?
Yeah.
We all go through periods of time when
of course,
we're maybe alone?
Every adult is not part of a couple at some point.
Yeah, that's what I think.
All right.
Well, it's looking good for 06. for next year, I'm gonna ace it.
You're gonna hit a home run next year.
Next year, I'm gonna make
it a national holiday.
I'm gonna make sure that Valentine's Day thing doesn't get brushed under the rug.
Shut the show down.
Yeah, you bet.
Flyer somewhere.
That's it.
Test that Barnes & Noble card.
That's it. Next year. Next year, if she's still around. Next year. I kid.
Yes, of course.
I kid because I love.
Yeah,
and
better.
Because, I'm depressed. And, because I'm simply the most negative person on the face of the planet.
You've been getting a lot of feedback lately, huh?
No, just, some of the feedback sticks.
Sticks with you,
Some of it sticks.
You carry it with you.
Nope. Here she is. God, please, I don't want to argue. Please. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, baby.
No, it was the worst ever. And when I was 13, my parents were very thoughtful, my mother, about Valentine's Day with with, you know, chocolate and all this kind of thing. So, no, they were very pleasant when I was young. So that was the worst. That's the only time I've ever had dinner by myself on Valentine's Day.
And now, why did you have dinner by yourself? I had no plans. I didn't say to you, let's not eat together.
You made it quite clear it was a non-holiday, a stupid made-up holiday. And when you think of it, all holidays are made up. That's the way they get there.
Not Jesus' birthday.
It's made up
Thank
as
you, Mike.
A holiday. He was
Thank you, Mike.
Born on that day.
Well, that's right. Yeah, you're probably
but
right.
But we had to take over a pagan holiday to make Christmas a holiday. So, yes, it was a made up, just worthless holiday. Why would I think that you would want to celebrate it? I mean, I had lingerie plans in mind. I had there's champagne in the refrigerator that I was going to use.
Yeah, and I said to you last night, why don't we drink the champagne? No.
No.
No, no, no. You know, I'd only walked in the door for 5 minutes when you said no to that.
And plus, although it was thoughtful on Sunday to pick me up that Barnes & Noble gift card, you know, that was touching.
Okay, please reference your discussion last week when you said don't get me anything.
I said don't buy me anything.
So what was the problem? Buy you anything, but then what I did buy you was an insult?
You could do something for me. Do something touching. That was the whole point. Do something that meant something. Don't spend large amounts of money.
I didn't spend. It was $50. I didn't spend a lot. I mean, that's a nice big gift. $50.
You are so sick. I'm saying to you, don't buy anything. Do something for me. Do something with me, which I gave a couple of examples. You know, when we were talking about.
Everybody's giving me examples of things I could do to you.
What? Yeah. See? All right. That's all right. You know, I got a card from my mother, and my sister called me and told me that she loved me. So it had there.
Now hold on. Didn't I get your card? Yes, I did. And didn't I write "I love you"? Yes, I did.
Right.
Then beyond that, I don't see why it was the worst Valentine's Day ever.
Well, could it have been that you talked about not only yesterday were you discussing, and don't tell me it's a show because I've heard the show on other Valentine's Day, and yesterday were many, many references, not only how what a useless holiday Valentine's Day is, but also marriage in general.
No, hey.
Yeah.
Now you're paraphrasing there. When did I say marriage in general?
Oh, you're playing the... your favorite drop from
from old school. Now you're reading too much into it.
No, my darling, I don't think
this is so. What I said to her last night. She's listening to the show and she said, "Oh, and you even played the tape from old school."
Sure.
Yeah, I would have played that even if I wasn't fighting with you. Not everything revolves around you. It's kind of an anti-romantic sentiment tape to play.
Yeah, right. And you can pretend otherwise, but I have listened to your show a time or two. I do know what level is normal, pretending, good fun, being your old curmudgeon-y cynical self.
Yes.
I do know when you're really driving it home. So, point was made, you know, we don't have to celebrate. Forget the fact that some people just like to have a day to appreciate the fact that they have someone to love.
And I do, and listen,
other people,
and I think that day, seriously, Frida.
There are other people in the world and in the studio who don't have
them. I shouldn't be saying this to you while I'm screaming at you, but I will. I say that to you every day of the year. Every day of the year is Valentine's Day. I tell you how much I love you every single day.
And what would then have been so horrible about treating it like a nice day instead of like,
Because we argued on Saturday about the other thing.
Because that was Saturday.
Yeah, but then Saturday rolled into Sunday, and Sunday rolled into Monday, and Monday rolled into today.
So, nothing had to roll into Monday.
No, hey, listen, I don't want to get into the argument.
I don't care. I mean, well, don't. But the point is, I could have put that aside to just appreciate the fact that I love you. And
I love you.
Mm-hmm. Well,
see now, how do you answer that tone?
Yeah.
When she says I love you, and I say it, and I mean I love you, she goes, mm-hmm.
Right, because it obviously would have pained you to show it yesterday. So as I told you on the phone during the show, in my mind, Valentine's Day was canceled.
You You know,
there are times when none of us even involve ourselves in these.
If you knew what the argument was about that preceded this.
It doesn't even matter. I don't even remember what
Buzz
the argument
was. Buzz is dying to say some things, though.
Oh, I do.
The argument was just about having men come to the house to do some work too early Monday morning. That was
and Tuesday morning. And I think it would be nice if you consulted me sometimes about when the guys are going to be in, seriously, with chainsaws going in my house at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, why are you... I mean, I don't know why you dance around that argument. You tell every other intimate thing on the air. Why, what...
Well, all right, then why did you schedule that when I'm not at home? Why do these guys got to show up at the ungodly hour of 7 a.m.?
I didn't know it would be that big a deal. I did not know that you would have... Because we're up early anyway. So I didn't know that. And by the time I told you this, it was the weekend. I couldn't reschedule. And so I
was mad on the way to Bob and Charlie's house on Saturday night. I was mad that you didn't even consult me to say to me, hey, I got some guys coming over early on Monday and Tuesday morning. And it's not just guys coming over. It's like a parade of gypsies. It's like nine people in the house at once, all of them with chainsaws going. And
you didn't have to do anything, darling. It wasn't that big a deal. I mean, all you had to do was hide out in whatever little room that you took.
But here's the thing. Especially today, there was no place to hide. There was no place to hide. They showed up at 7.
That's a movie title.
They weren't working upstairs, and we have the whole upstairs you could have taken.
So that was the option. I could, for 2 days, just hide up in my bedroom. Baby, this is my point. Why can't you know how I am? Why can't you schedule this crap when I'm at work?
Sugar, it wasn't a choice. This is the time I was given. I didn't know it would be a big deal with you.
Okay, well obviously it was a big deal.
Well, then, right, I'll never do it again.
Okay.
Okay, goodbye.
Well, then I will never do... Well, there you go.
I think that went well.
That's the argument. Mm-hmm. And that's called...
The Intruder.
Playing
the Percentages.
That's right.
I was just a big loser on that one, on Playing the Percentages.
Well, the day after Valentine's Day, and now everything starts afresh.
New start.
It's just like the first day of spring.
Oh,
whatever.
Christ. So what do I do tonight when I go home? I'm telling you, I'm dead when I walk through that door tonight.
You know what you should do?
Kill myself?
No, what you should do.
I'm thinking about it.
No. Here's what you should do, but I'm not going to tell you on the
air. Buy a one-way ticket?
No, I'm not going to tell you on the air. I got an idea.
Oh, good.
It's a real gay idea, but it's an idea. And it might go over.
I'm not doing anything like that. Like what, over the top?
Wait
like,
till you hear.
Yeah.
No, not over the top.
Because that's not me.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's not me.
Yeah,
like,
no, this might be a...
Does it involve balloons?
No.
You promise?
No, well, you know what I was going to suggest?
What?
No, but if I suggested that you'll never do it anyway, I don't think.
Okay, well then tell me.
But what I would suggest is like months down the road, sometime totally in a dead time, like during the summer or something like that, you just do a Valentine's Day thing.
Just bring a surprise Valentine's
Day. Nothing elaborate, just like, say, since we missed it, you know.
That'll happen. Incidentally, Mike.
And that don't see.
And incidentally,
this is what
how many times has that, and I'm not busting your chops.
It would be like totally like when things were going well.
How many times, and I'm not busting your chops.
Yeah.
How many times have you ever used that advice?
What?
The advice you just gave me.
For Valentine's Day?
Or for any occasion.
What do you mean, like having it another time a year?
Have you ever done that? I mean, that's just not in my makeup.
Yeah.
It's like I'm not the type of guy that's...
I've done surprises. I don't know if they've been surprises like around certain days, but I've been married twice. Is that your point?
No. That wasn't going there at all.
Excuse me, I'm
going
to leave.
I wasn't going there at all. Okay. Anyway, that's what's happening.
I guess things are all right.
Yeah. I think it sounds fine.
Yeah. I've got to work on... Why do I say Thanksgiving?
You know why? It's your favorite holiday.
Because there's a lot of stress at the main holidays of Thanksgiving and around Christmas, and people feel a tremendous amount of pressure for everything to go right, and this is just another one of those holidays.
You know, maybe it's just a scheduling issue with me. Maybe it's... Now, hear me out for a second on my biological clock, that you've got Halloween, which is okay.
Yeah.
Then you've got Thanksgiving, and there's all kinds of pressure.
Yep.
Then you've got Christmas, and you've got New Year's and family.
Pressure.
And it's like, man, I need some time off. And the time to cool off is between the end of the Super Bowl and Easter.
Uh-huh.
But we have to have a holiday every month.
Holidays are overrated.
we have to have...
I hate to say that. I know it might be ridiculous. But in America,
Mike,
holiday.
Will you feel that way next Monday? I will not.
No, President's Day?
President's Day.
Not that kind of holiday.
No.
But the other kind of holiday.
No, the Monday kind, Memorial Day.
Aces with me.
But Mike's right. That's where the pressure comes from.
No, but the holidays have turned into... New Year's Eve has turned into a spectacle.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, where there seems to be... We're almost trained to behave a certain way. The only spontaneous, wonderful holiday that I can think of during the year where it's just kind of fun is St. Patrick's Day.
I'll drink to that.
It's my favorite. It's just people, you
Fourth
know.
Of July,
no, but no. Hear me out. Seriously, hear me out. Nobody has to do anything on St. Patrick's Day they don't want.
That's true.
If you want to get loaded, you get loaded.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I do. Those are the rules I live with every day.
You have to wear green.
But New Year's Eve, I've always felt for the last 10, 15 years, I've felt New Year's Eve is a forced. Yeah, everybody's going to go, oh, New Year's Eve.
Social pressure.
Yeah.
Come on now. Where are
Thanksgiving
you
and Christmas. Family pressure. Valentine's Day, very similar.
Yes.
You know, we have to. Yesterday, I was in that store, and you know, I really.
People have that way.
I mean,
expectations. It's all about expectations.
And I'm not saying that to, you know,
I don't know what I'm saying.
People trying to live up to a certain expectation.
Exactly.
Come on, please, pick up.
Even to a certain extent, Christmas.
Yeah. Pick up.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying that Valentine's Day...
In this country, we have become so totally, like, dictated to by conglomerates and corporations as to how we are supposed to behave and what is the way to do it. Oh, my God.
Our lives revolve around their holidays.
It's, yeah.
Okay. Listen, this is a game of poker, which is a game of life. It's a game of marriage. This is where I fold.
Playing the percentages.
That's what I'm doing.
Playing... The percentages.
You know, sometimes, you know, your cards just stink.
Yeah. You always got to draw.
No.
Hello?
Baby.
Yes?
Seriously, and you're on the radio now.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, well, I just thought you should know. I am sorry that I screwed up Valentine's Day.
You know, you say that, and you say, you know, you say very sweet things, but then you go and you act hard to get along with again. And I don't...
When did I... Are you talking about in real life or radio life?
Whenever this argument, whenever this problem that we had with just a scheduling gets referenced, you act hard to get along with all over again.
Okay, well, I'm sorry.
Well, that's so you say. Right, so you say, and then you act... Then you know, it's like, I don't... know if you're really sorry or sweet, because then you act like a jerk again.
When do I act like a jerk? In person or on the radio?
Just when you were... Both, when it comes to this discussion.
When did I act like a jerk in real life?
When this argument happened originally.
Which part of the argument?
The part where you're telling me how I made a mistake with the scheduling.
Oh, of the guys coming out to the house to turn on the saws early in the morning. So what was my mistake there?
Never mind. I'm tired.
Well, I'm serious.
We're all serious.
Oh. You want a window into my world? I mean, that ain't scripted. I don't know how many people are listening to that. But I'm telling you, that's like having a discussion with a woman at home. Instead of hanging up the phone, she just walks out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there with my mouth open.
I've never had that happen to me.
Sitting there with my mouth open going, duh.
Rob, have you ever had that happen?
Duh.
Everything's happened to me.
Well,
please.
That was a joke I have.
The percentages.
There you go.
I know, but I think we all can commiserate.
I would be the big loser today on playing the percentages.
Rob didn't write that.
But let me just say this. On a happier note,
Yes.
If I could just totally cleanse the palate. What a jerk Joe Gibbs is.
Oh, no.
I mean, you don't mean that.
You're joking now.
Really?
You're joking because he's going to be on our radio station later.
Yeah, I know.
That's the joke you're making.
There's some concern in the halls.
Really?
Yes. because, well, not concerned. I understand the people here, now this is not a joke. They had like a sales meeting at 7:30 this morning.
Right.
Because WJFK, the station run by Bill O'Reilly here in D.C. that we're on, has pried away the Redskins coach from the sports station to do like a call-in show tonight.
Right.
And the reason he's leaving the other station is, I guess, the host said like he's a bad coach or something.
Wow.
He didn't like what they had to say.
He didn't like what they had to say.
Jerk.
So, I just want to take this moment to say, Joe Gibbs is a jerk.
Oh, my God.
That's, you're just testing the water.
You know what's funny? I mean, come on, I have to tell you what's funny. You know, there's not one jerkish thing about the guy.
No.
And it's funny to repeat it over and over again.
Right.
Because I know Hughes is having a fit down,
sure,
down the hall every time I say Joe Gibbs is a jerk.
Yeah, but no one's spoken to you, right?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the guy. What's he accomplished? What's the guy done, really?
Recently, or are you talking about overall?
His whole career, Mike. His whole career.
Yeah.
What's the guy done? Nothing. And I understand he's very hard to get along with. Like he's, no, I'm serious about this.
Really?
You ever seen him speaking like at a podium? Talk about having a negative look at life. And I understand Joe Gibbs didn't buy his wife anything for Valentine's Day either.
Maybe he's depressed.
He's a jerk.
You think he's depressed?
It's possible.
He might be.
So that's this bulletin. I'll let you know when I think of something else to say.
Very good.
But Joe Gibbs is a jerk.
Yes.
And he'll be on right after us tonight on the station WJFK.
The preceding was a comedy statement.
His soul is as black as sackcloth.
There it is again.
I've heard that before. Thank you, Rob.
Yeah, last time I heard that said, it was when I was watching Mark Addy.
Please. The percentages.
That's right. Thanks for working Mark Addy's name.
My pleasure. I wanted to play that game.
Oh, and then we have this.
You can only play that game if you do it on your own. If I went to either one of you and wanted to participate, I wouldn't be allowed in. You have to do it on your own. You have to force it in there.
The Mark Addy game.
Right. A press release that came to us courtesy of Kick-Ass Pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Remember yesterday was the segment with Beth Ann.
Yes.
And here is the press release that they sent to porno sites and news sites around the world.
Okay.
Country invades the city via the airwaves. Country infects nationally syndicated talk show with jungle fever.
Interesting terminology.
Yeah.
Nationwide via WJFK FM Washington, it was a match made over the airwaves. Once again, Valentine's Day lives up to the hype and true urban do the right thing style love blossom between nationally syndicated talk show host Don and Mike's hot piece of ass producer Beth Ann.
That's right.
And Country, star of Kick-Ass Pictures, Something I Can't Say on the Radio by Two Black Men, and other videos. For 17 minutes, it looked like Cupid successfully popped a cap in one lucky ladies.
Yes. Wow.
Live on the air from coast to coast on over 30 stations, including San Francisco, Las Vegas, Dallas, Baltimore, as a surprise to their desperate producer. Don and Mike invited Country to woo the radio kitten while she oogled Country's performance in Jelly 5.
Radio kitten.
While Beth Ann was glued to the screen, Country sweet-talked.
Yeah, she was glued to the screen, all right.
The curious babe into submission. By the end of the segment, B.A. was bragging that she snagged Country's phone number from the show's main producer,
what?
Rob Spiegel.
Oh, God.
That's
nice to see they got their facts straight.
Yeah. That's
a good press release.
That's good. Country left the listening audience with a little love advice, proclaiming in his patented Mississippi drawl, if you lay it out, make sure you play it out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don and Mike have also adapted Kick-Ass Pictures' notorious guarantee. Anyway, promising listeners no condoms.
Wow, somebody went to town on
those fake
booze
and naked sex. Listen to the Lovebirds, plan their future. Anyway, so that's the press release that mentions both Beth Ann and Rob by name.
I got a very excited call in my home last night at 10:30. Hey, Rob, we got a press release. I think you're going to get a kick out of it. So,
how are you? Garbage cans.
They're garbage cans. Thank you, Jeff, at Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Now, Gallagher's coming up in a second.
Okay, now, there's an angry man.
Now, here's a little sidebar about funny man Gallagher.
Okay, yes. Please.
Now, normally, you know, we would hate Gallagher because he's the watermelon guy.
Right.
Right. But he's angry. He's angry about the list.
We had him on the show the last time we talked to him. We liked him because he had so many fun things to say.
Great appearance.
He came in at number 100 on Comedy Central's 100 Greatest Stand-Ups of All Time.
Yeah, he's steamed.
We've got a lot more names now from the list that we can ask him about.
Good.
With celebrities and comedians that he hates.
Excellent.
He's also mad that his show is not selling out.
Okay.
Yeah.
He also wants to announce on the show on Friday, although keep it a secret, when he's scheduled to be in studio, that he wants to run for president.
Ah, Gallagher for president.
And he also does not remember that he was on our show 2 weeks ago.
He doesn't.
That's and
a shame.
According to Beth Ann, as of 25 minutes ago, he's pretty sure we do a morning show.
Ah.
And that we're taping this to play tomorrow morning.
Wow, okay.
So
are we going to fill him in on the details?
No.
Good.
Those are the many layers of Gallagher.
Very exciting.
That we'll get into in just a second.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Keep laughing.
The Don and Mike Show. Get nude, squat, and cough for Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. Much as I'd love to take all of these calls. Doesn't say constructive criticism.
No.
Corrective criticism for Don.
Well, that could be Joe.
Yeah, maybe. Another guy writes, holidays are destined for failure.
Yes.
Another woman writes, I'm a jerk. These are all just the calls on the screen. And all of them probably correct. But joining us, why make them wait? It's Gallagher.
Gallagher! Yeah.
Gallagher.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Now, Gallagher, first question. Do you remember being on our show previously?
No.
So you do a lot of stuff, right, Gallagher? It just goes so fast.
Well, if I was there and I saw you.
Right.
But I've done, I did 100 radio interviews last month.
So you're a busy
man.
So you don't remember us.
You were great. You killed. We loved it. You were mad.
You were mad. You were angry. Like, we're always angry, and we shared that anger, and it was fun, and we loved having you on the show. It was a very positive experience for us.
Did I show up in person?
No, you were on
the phone.
On the
phone. But I think you're going to be in person on Friday.
On Friday, because you got big shows coming up here in outside of Washington, D.C.
Oh, did you guys say you didn't think you were going to like me?
Yeah, we didn't think we were going to like
you. That's right.
Right.
Yeah, we did like you.
Yeah, I remember people saying that. That was us.
Now, Gallagher, I understand that you're pissed. You told Beth Ann at some point you're pissed about ticket sales.
Yeah, they can't seem to. I just did 1,000 people in Evansville, Indiana, the armpit of America. They hardly have money to fix their teeth.
Yes.
You know, I sign autographs and take pictures with them, and when they smile, I think, you shouldn't have bought a ticket to my show. You should fix your teeth. And here I am in the nation's capital, and I got 400 for Saturday night and a 500-seater. You can't sell Saturday night on President's Weekend, and you don't even have school or nothing on Monday.
I should mention that Gallagher is
so
at the State
makes,
Theater.
Sunday a Saturday. Sunday, I think I got 200 tickets and a 500-seater. This is ridiculous.
All right, so we got to plug it for you, because we'll sell those right away.
Gallagher
for
is
you.
At
you
the
know what?
State
you
Theater.
Get your money's worth with me. I do a 3-hour show.
3 hours?
Some people say it's the best time they ever had. How can you miss that?
Really?
Gallagher is at a legendary, gorgeous venue, the State Theater.
Yeah,
Falls Church, Saturday and Sunday.
It's a beautiful theater, beautiful renovated theater. It's gorgeous.
I'll fix that.
Now, what is the deal about?
Come and see it beforehand. Right? See, the last of the State Theater. You know, sometimes they hire me right before they tear something down.
Now, Gallagher, what is the deal with this? You're flying into D.C. on Friday. We offered to send a car to pick you up.
Right.
And you turned it down and said no. You insist on taking a taxi cab.
You're going to take a taxi, Gallagher?
Yeah, I'm real. You can't write jokes about your limo driver. How are people going to ever identify with you if you're not having the same life as everybody else?
Yes, but if you don't get a driver, you might be late for the show.
I'm going to take hours. I've got all day. I'm arriving midnight on Thursday night. I have 15 hours to get.
You'll be able to get plenty of rest and join us bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
I can't imagine that there would be. How many people show up at the airport when you arrive with watermelons and stuff? And if you're arriving at midnight, you probably won't have a lot of fans there. So you could slip into a limo. No one would know.
It's not worth the money. I mean, I can show up there. I'm real. I'm not a gilded lily.
Now, our producer said you're at a casino, Gallagher. Are you in Vegas right now?
Yeah, I'm trying to put together a deal so I could work here. You know, they also la-di-da, they don't want the mess. And all the old places I used to work, they tore down the dunes and the sand.
Right.
And I don't like the Sahara. And so I'm looking to work here at the new place called the Tuscany.
That's the new one, yeah.
All right, well, we're on in Las Vegas on Spike 1140. Maybe someone will hear Gallagher.
I want to do a late-night show called After Midnight using the old Eric Clapton song and having weirdos. You know, the kind of people that wander around here in the wee hours. I could have you guys come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd love to.
We'll make a TV show.
A real
show about talking. You know, when I went to Tonight Show, it's all these actresses and stupid stories. What happened to the Tonight Show where they'd have... Remember Jack Paar? They'd actually have people that could talk and have an opinion and a conversation, not telling a funny story happened with their pet or this director.
Gallagher.
I love Gallagher.
Jay Leno's turned into a pimp for the studios.
I agree.
And then he hogs the first half hour. Remember how many comics used to come out of the Tonight Show?
Right.
Because Johnny gave him an opportunity.
Johnny.
Jay doesn't have anybody on that's funny. He hogs the first half hour, then he does the pretty girl, then he does the weird band, and that's the show.
You're right.
The comedians.
Can't argue with him.
Let me ask you, Gallagher, when we had you on the phone, there was the talk about Comedy Central's 100 greatest stand-ups of all time. You were number 100. You were mad about that. There were some people ahead of you on the list. We have the complete list. If I could be so bold... I want to tell you the ones that I totally disagree with, and you tell me what you think.
But you saw on my website, we've re-voted now, and they've got new standings.
You got the new standings on your website?
Yeah. I emailed every radio station in America, and I told them to go there and vote. And so then we got new. I ended up number one, which I'm apologizing for because I think I had too many of my fans.
Mm-hmm.
But then we put 50 more new comedians that I got from the club owners, and Tim Wilson won that one. And the results of that are on my website also.
Well, let's stick with the Comedy Central list, which started this whole thing. You're number 100, and Paul Reiser is number 77.
Now, what's wrong with that pick?
How can that be?
Cool.
Paul Reiser, the guy from
Mad About You.
He's a sissy actor with that type of comedy. He wouldn't know a punchline if he tripped over it.
I agree.
What about now?
You could heckle him in a club and he'd cry. He's the kind of guy we beat up at school. You can just smell it on him. You want to make him cry.
All right, now, at number 67 on the Comedy Central list. Now, this guy's a friend of ours, yet we'll go with your opinion.
Right.
The very funny Kevin Pollak.
Kevin Pollak.
He's okay in a nightclub, but I think that I don't think he could do a long act. I think he's good. He's a middle actor, the way we would. When you say, I'm here with a club owner, would you say Kevin Pollak was a middle act?
Yeah, but he's headlining.
He does headline because he's got a name.
Right.
Okay. All right, but you're pretty easy. You're going easy on Kevin Pollak. That's right, okay.
I think because he's got some good dirty jokes.
Yeah, okay.
I think he's worked a club or two, and I think he could handle a heckler. He's not like Paul Reiser. Plus, if I tried to beat him up, I think he'd kick me in the crotch. I know he's got that move.
Yeah,
I respect him. He's a street guy. I don't,
What about Bill? Bill Maher, number 38. Bill Maher, he's... I don't want to...
He hates me. That guy hates me.
Well, we hate
him. I was on his show one time, and I wanted to stand on the table because they were doing a show about Spanish people, and I was going to do a flamenco dance on his table. And as I came out, he grabbed my hand and tried to stop me from getting on the table. Then he has Carrot Top on all the time. Yeah. A carbon copy of me, a mere shadow of my comic genius.
True.
He has him on. That's
true.
The problem with entertainment. They don't want the real thing. They want the shadow, the silhouette. They want something with two dimensions.
Can I say something right now? Can I say something to Gallagher?
I believe that
in 2005, for our show, Gallagher is our find of 2005. We have never had a relationship with this man. I believe this relationship is going to blossom.
Comedian of the year.
Before he gets mad at us.
Because men die for freedom of speech, and nobody uses it in America. And women die, too. I don't want to leave them out.
Right.
But nobody talks. Everybody's a sissy. It's a Democrat, and that's politically correct. Ever since Clinton said oral sex isn't considered.
What about the very hot Jon Stewart? Do you like Jon Stewart?
No, he's a model for girls. It's all about being handsome.
Okay.
He's not funny.
Mm-hmm. All right, what about some old-timers on this list? At number 63, Jackie Mason.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a hero of mine.
Okay.
Jackie Mason.
All right, Jackie Mason, that's a good one.
All right, he's a good one.
All right, what about Wanda Sykes? Number 70.
What an irritating voice. That's the kind of voice to make you want to commit suicide if you was married to that woman.
Free speech.
Okay.
Shut up. My God, what a whiny voice. I think other women don't like to listen to her.
Right, now I'm going to go.
Who her audience is.
Let's go right to the top 20 here. How do you stand on Bob Newhart?
Bob Newhart?
Yes.
I like Bob. He started a new style of comedy. And you know, America is about ingenuity, about being different, not about doing what everybody else does. And
okay.
He sure started a whole new type of comedy. Although Shelley Berman was doing the same kind of little stuff on the phone. So maybe he copied Shelley a little bit. But I like, you know, he's friends with... who's that cranky comic that picks on everybody?
Rickles,
yeah. Right. What a combination those two are, because, you know, he's polite and Rickles ain't.
All right, two more. Let me see that both Mike and I have been attached to in the past. The number six on the list is Steve Martin,
Martin is a sissy. He never wanted to be a comedian.
Right.
He kicked out as soon as he could and started making girl movies.
Okay. What about Robin Williams?
He's the thief of the business. He's got on his answer machine, what did I steal and how much do you want for it?
What about the great Woody Allen?
Well, Woody quit being a comic, you know.
Right.
So I got to take points away from him, too.
I didn't mean great.
And for making weird movies. I don't know who goes to his movies anymore. And he doesn't know nothing about the world between New York and L.A., and that's where I live.
Oh, here's one for you. What about Dice? Andrew Dice Clay. He's number 95 on the list.
Andrew Dice Clay set the record for the most people to ever come to see a comedian out on Long Island in the Nassau Center. And for that, you've got to put him on the list for just drawing the largest audience ever
right.
to see a single
All right.
performance. But when he first came to L.A., he was doing one of my jokes, and I walked up to him, and I said, you know, you can continue to do that, but everybody here knows that's my joke. If you want to give them a reason to make fun of you, then go ahead. He says, nobody's ever said it to me that way, and we were friends after that.
All right.
Cool. I'm over here now.
Good. What about Howie Mandel, number 82?
Howie Mandel has a problem working a hard crowd. He needs people to be on his side. So that's why I couldn't put him above 50 in a group of 100 because he doesn't have the balls. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah.
He doesn't have the balls to run to do a tough crowd. He couldn't handle a nightclub.
All right, I don't think we asked you this when you were on before. Of these 100 comedians, seriously, give me your top three. Would you put yourself?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, the top three. Your top three, because I really appreciate the
candidates. I think Jackie Green... Fred Fox, what is it?
Red Fox?
Red Fox.
Red Fox. I don't know why, but Fred. Red Fox, Shecky Green, and who is that other guy that I liked? Jackie Mason.
All right, then, Gallagher, where would you put yourself?
Choosing a black guy. I don't know.
What is your ranking, then? What would be the ranking?
I wouldn't mind being, you know, 70, 80, 90 if you put some of the great comics. Where's Lord Buckley on there and the great, and Moms Mabley.
Yeah.
And who is that? Tody Fields.
Tody Fields, right.
And Stiller and Mara. And Burns and Allen.
Number 70 is Wanda Sykes. Number 80 is Bobby Slayton. Oh. Number 90.
I know, and I called Bobby and said, you're number 80. He says, my management is ecstatic. And I said, but you don't belong there. And he says, I like it.
Where are you on, Richard? We ask you about Richard Jenny?
Yeah, I think no.
And I don't think he asked you about it.
He's on that poker show. He's just famous because he's famous.
Okay, what about George Carlin?
It's like David Letterman. He wouldn't be famous if he wasn't on that show. David couldn't be a guest on a talk show, but yet he gets to be the host. Figure that out.
All right, I had one and Buzz had one. The last couple. What about Billy Crystal?
Billy Crystal's the same. He has to have a polite crowd. He couldn't really work a tough audience.
Yeah, all right, you're talking about, and I wanted to, before we get buzzes, I wanted to ask you, when you talk about a tough crowd, because I've always appreciated this with stand-up. I love guys that can handle, I hate hecklers, but I love comedians that can handle hecklers, and I've always wanted to ask a stand-up comedian this question. Do you dig it? I mean, because obviously you're prepared for it. Do you like it when you get one sometimes? Are you in the mood for it?
Sometimes I am in the mood. I always just tell them the truth. You know, a heckler wants to have a show himself,
right,
that nobody would come. And I tell them that's their sexual problem, too. I get a big laugh. Then I also tell them I don't need their money to put up with them. And I give them their money back, and I kick them out.
I like that. And Buzz, who did you want to ask?
George Carlin. I don't think we've mentioned George Carlin.
Well, I should have been George Carlin's writer. Because when I wrote Sledgematic, I sent the routine to him, and he sent it back and said, I write all my own material, and if he didn't do that, I wouldn't have had a career.
Wow.
I think a lot of the jokes that I write are just like George, and he inspires me. I'm going to solve the Social Security problem. I'm going to allow those private accounts, but you have to buy stock in a drug company, and then the drug company pays dividends in drugs. Now the old people get their drugs for nothing.
Brilliant.
And then they own a drug company.
Now, are you doing this while you're still smashing watermelons?
No. First I'm smart, then I'm stupid.
Okay. And one more comedian I have to ask you about. George Lopez.
George Lopez.
Well, you know what? I don't know about Latinos because I don't know what they find funny. I can speak a little Spanish, but
right.
I don't know. It feels funny if you got your career just because you're a Latino.
There you go.
You know, maybe there's some funnier guys, but they weren't around. I don't know.
Gotcha.
There you go. Let's give Gallagher a big old
applause. That's, right.
That's right for that. All right, so Gallagher, now do you remember having been on our show before?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to mention
my favorite show.
Want to mention that Gallagher is at the State Theater in Falls Church this Saturday,
yes,
and Sunday.
Only 200 people have bought tickets. That stinks.
For the Sunday show, only 200.
No, 600. I've got 400 on Saturday and 200 on Sunday, and it seats 500.
Okay, so you need 100 for Saturday, and you need 400 for Sunday.
No, 300 for Sunday.
300 for Sunday, that's right.
And
yeah,
any of these guys that you rag about, I mean, I think you mentioned Bobby Slayton. Any of these other guys, you ever run into them and do...
Oh, yeah, I told you, I called Bobby.
Yeah.
He knows he's not as funny as me. He ain't working. Go look at his schedule. He ain't in Evansville, Indiana, doing 1,000 people that need teeth fixed.
No, right. Oh, he ain't. Okay. All right, Gallagher, we'll see you Friday, dude.
Okay.
Okay.
Look forward to it.
Bye
then.
Oh, he's funny.
Yeah, it's so
Gallagher
different. You
Your
just
friend.
Let him go. You know what was great is he really gave a lot of thought to every question. That
yes.
He was serious as a heart attack.
And if I could just say one thing, I'm speaking for myself.
Right.
I imagine most people listening. I don't consider him to be a stand-up comedian.
Well, you know what?
I don't.
You know why I can't?
He's like a vaudeville act.
You know why I can't say? I've never, I mean, it's years ago
that I
remember Gallagher like being way out front. And I mean, I'd like, if he does legitimate stand-up.
Do you remember the Gallagher videotapes? He was like the first guy to sell videotapes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. You remember the Showtime special where he came out on a boat? On the stage?
Yes, I do. I logged a lot of time with the Gallagher specials, and he did do a lot of jokes, and he tried to do, you know, a sort of socially conscious jokes like George Carlin does, but between all the watermelon smashing, that's all you remember.
People remember the watermelon.
Right. I don't remember him being particularly funny. It's just, man, he does like to smash a good watermelon.
Right? I like, you know, one of the things I enjoy, as George Carlin has gotten angrier, I've enjoyed George Carlin more. If Gallagher has gotten angrier, then I will certainly enjoy him more. I'm half a mind to go see the show.
Is Gallagher now? Anybody know?
100.
He references a lot of very old
comedians,
like Shecky Green, Mom's Maybe, that type of thing.
I bet he's 60.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'll see if I can find out. He'll probably tell us.
Mom's Maybe, baby. And when we get him in here, we'll also get to the bottom of his twin brother.
Good.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean that literally. I mean that we'll broach the subject, but get into it more in depth.
Well, we covered that with the first conversation, but he won't remember it.
Yeah, I know.
So it'll be perfectly all right.
We'll redo it again.
Remember, he hates him.
Yeah, that much we know.
Well, he's got one brother who's not a loser.
That's right. He's like a surgeon or a pilot or something.
Exactly. And he's got the other brother that tried to rip off his head.
Can you imagine that? First off, you're Bobby Slayton, which means God has already punished you.
Right.
So you're picking up the telephone. Hello.
Hey, yeah. You're number 80. You're not as funny as me.
You don't belong there, Bobby. from a guy that smashes watermelons.
You're not Mom's Mabley.
Right. Well, that's Gallagher. He's funny.
Absolutely.
I don't think he means to be funny. He's funny.
58 years old.
I wonder about that. Do you think he's just being curmudgeon-y and that's funny, or?
I don't know
where he starts or where he ends.
I don't think he knows why we think he's funny.
Right.
I think that maybe he just thinks that we think he's right. I mean, in some stuff, he is right about.
He is right about some stuff. He's a very opinionated guy. He's angry.
Uh-huh.
But, and we love that.
But here's the thing. He's also, this is going to be just an awful segue, but pardon me. Gallagher is just one step away from being in our has-been Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely.
Understand that. Well,
yes,
he's critiquing all of these other guys.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, speaking, Mike, of the has-been Hall of Fame.
I'm sorry to interrupt. On July 26th, he'll be 59.
Oh, okay.
All right, very good.
Thank you. When we come back, big news about the has-been Hall of Fame.
Oh, exciting. Good.
Okay, stay tuned. I mean, big life-shattering news.
Wow. Life-shattering?
Life-shattering. Life-shattering.
Really? Earth-shaking, earth-shattering?
Something like that.
Life-shattering?
Something like that.
Oh, my God.
Maybe that's a subliminal message that I'm getting from my own head, that my own personal life is shattering. Maybe that's the case.
It's going to be fine.
No, it's not.
It's going to be okay.
No, it's
not. Come on now. Come on now.
I got to do something.
I think you're depressed.
I got to do something.
Wait. The percentages.
Yes. I took two of my pills today.
Take four.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Come on, everyone. That 8 is enough for reunion show is about to start.
Well, Mary, have you seen Nicholas?
He's up in his room sulking, Dad.
Yeah, he's still upset because Abby threw out his baseball cards.
Oh, well, maybe I should make him a sandwich.
Oh, Dad, that's your solution to everything.
Dad! Dad!
What?
8 is enough.
You know I love you, girls.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's funny.
They're all thonged up. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, thank you, Dude Walker. And it's www.donamikewebsite.com. That's the official website of our show. You get the daily download. You get the audio thing.
And you get merchandise that is the best.
In a great souvenir shop. Yes.
Embroidered stuff. I'm not talking silk screened garbage.
No kidding.
Embroidered. Wonderful.
Okay, Dick Van Patten. Gonna tell you why. We're talking to Dick about the has-been Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Yeah. But first.
First.
Watch what a modern man does.
Hello.
Hello, darling.
Yes, my boo.
I talked to my wife during the commercials. Yes. I'll say on the radio what I said during the commercials. Are you ready?
Who, me?
Yeah. Who do you think I'm talking to, Mike? You don't care about this.
No, I thought you were asking Mike if he's ready.
Just, we talk, and, I love you. I love you, and I'm sorry that I was, jerky about the guys coming to the house. That's why I was jerky.
All right. Well, I know we made up, but,
yes.
You know, I didn't know you were going to call me on the air with this.
I said to you because, like, I didn't know today.
It was all resolved, and now
yes.
You're calling me on the air saying that, okay, maybe you just wanted closure for the show.
No. Oh, God. See, the thing is, here's the problem when you talk to your wife on the radio sometimes, as I do. And I mentioned to her that I don't know what real life is and radio life is.
If you didn't want the closure on the show, then why are you calling me on the air when we got it all settled off the air?
I'm calling off the air, darling, to emaciate myself.
Emasculate yourself?
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. You know what I mean.
Sometimes emasculation can result in emaciation.
You had a really cute one this morning when you... Tell them what word you said wrong this morning.
I don't remember.
Hyperbole. I love that one.
What did I mean to say?
Hyperbole.
Hyperbole.
Yes, but see, that's the great... That's why I love you. You always know what I mean to say.
Mm-hmm.
And there was that one that...
Are you talking to me or Mike?
Well, yeah, both of you. And there was also the one word that I used to screw up all the time. Was it assimilate? I would do it with you, Frida. God, there was some word, I mean, every single time. Give me a word that sounds like assimilate.
Assimilation?
No.
No.
Sounds too close.
Simile?
Never mind. It doesn't matter.
Forget what it was.
Anyway, okay. I'll do better next Valentine's Day.
Okay.
And,
again, you just wanted your listeners to know this, too, to share in our joy. Because we really had resolved it during the commercial.
Yes, and on your behalf.
I think I speak for the listeners.
You get what I'm saying?
Say when that goes on, I appreciate that because, I mean, we were all kind of uptight about it. And
I'm just clearing the air. Mm-hmm. You know, what I said to you.
It's like you guys are our children.
Well, yes. No, it's actually...
Mommy and Daddy fight.
Yeah, well, no, it's not that way. What it is it's, you know, along with the entertainment value that affords all of us, there is sometimes it's a little bit more serious than others, and I felt that one was a little serious.
Yeah, so did I. So that's why when we worked it out, I said to you, you know, I mean this so much. I mean it off the radio. I mean it on the radio. I
just wanted to share the good news.
That's right.
Well, just to reassure Mike about, you know, I'll tell you the same thing I tell Don. If I get mad at him, it's not serious. I mean, it's serious, and it's something we need to work out, and the house is not pleasant if either one of us is mad, but it's not relationship ending.
Ah.
You know? So don't stress over that, my darling, or, you know,
yes.
The rest of you guys.
Yes, everybody. Okay, so anyway, it's done.
Yeah, listen, that's excellent.
I'm a stand-up guy. When I cave...
So you're calling me to tell me you're a stand-up guy.
Yes, because I'm showing the audience. As far as the audience knows...
Yeah, she's gloating a little bit now. I'm just kidding.
As far as the audience knows, you know, I'm going to go home tonight and you're going to beat me up with a frying pan. I want them to see both sides of me. The boisterous side of me. The fake side of me. And the real side of me. The real side of me that calls you, like, the second we go to commercial saying... My God, I can't believe you're really mad. I'm so sorry that I overreacted about the workers. That's all. Because we had all the other stuff on the air anyway.
As long as you feel better.
Well, I do, and as
you've got
long
it
as,
all neatly tied up and with a bow, and you can put it aside and move on now.
I'm still upset.
As long as you feel better. That's my concern. As long as you feel better, my sweet.
Now, Mike, you know it's okay between us, in our triangular relationship.
What are you talking about? Me and you, or me and Mike, or me and you and Mike?
You could care a little bit more about my needs, Don.
Mike, you want to know the truth? I care more about your needs than I do about her needs.
Yeah. Everything is okay with both of you guys. No, it's all right. I'm not going anywhere. It's just I always love you. I just don't always like you. All right?
Okay.
That goes for all four of y'all in there.
Oh, okay.
That's nice.
Thank you. I love you.
And right back at you.
I love you.
Thanks.
I'm not saying anything. I love you. I let it go there.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. All see right. you tonight.
Bye, sweetie.
Do you want to have a special dinner tonight?
What? Meaning, do I want to make you a special dinner tonight? I don't think so.
No, I thought maybe I'd whip it up while we were doing the show. No, I mean, that's kind of what I'm at. Oh, would you like me to pick something up?
No, I don't think
there's
so.
Still champagne and lingerie?
No, I think we'll just wait till next year.
Okay.
Okay. All right. See, that's where, you know, that's where you're the last word, and rightly so. Rightly so, you get the last word.
I wasn't being the last word. I was responding to what Bud said.
There you go. I know you're speaking factually.
Yes.
That we won't have the opportunity for champagne and lingerie for the next year.
No, well, just if it evolves naturally, that's one thing. But we won't have Valentine's Day
for another year.
Tonight.
For another
true.
Oh, or tonight.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, then we can watch American Idol.
I don't watch American Idol.
Oh,
I'll
that's
be playing
right.
the piano.
Oh, God. I love it when you play the piano.
Another thing we don't have in common. No, I'm kidding. I haven't watched American Idol. So, but you can enjoy that by yourself, usual. No big deal.
I won't be by myself. I'll have my two friends, Mr. Bottle and Mr. Phone.
I know.
Listen, darling, who needs champagne and lingerie?
As long as you have Rave on the phone and some nice vanilla vodka.
No, as I say, we have each other.
I know. Rave is in his lingerie when he's on the phone with you.
I got to go to the liquor store tonight, too. Running low on that.
Yeah.
All right, Sugar
Bear. What, Mike?
Just let it play out, Rob.
What?
It's going to be fine.
It's just, it's tough to find something sexy in the big and tall section.
I know.
I try and try.
All right, thank you. You know, I want to say on our behalf, we don't do this counseling, this on-air counseling.
I know.
Nearly as much as we used to.
We didn't even need to do this. We had everything fine off the air. And
No, baby, listen, really. Things were not fine between. We were both still fighting the fight without fighting the fight.
During the commercials, when you just called me, things were okay.
But here in the world of the show, things were not okay. And how were the listeners to know?
I didn't know.
See, and how is Buzz to know?
Well,
or Mike?
Why don't you have somebody the guy who does your call them, rejoiners?
Yes. Dude,
why don't you just have him make one generically that says, everything's okay.
All right.
Donna Frieda.
Okay, all right. I'll see you later. Okay, I'll do that. Love you.
Goodbye. Love you, too.
Thank you. Okay, so, Dick Van Patten.
Yes.
Been married for a long time.
Yes, he has, to Pat.
Yes.
Pat Van Patten.
And, we started something on the show last week with Adrian Zemed.
Yes, the has-been Hall of Fame.
Listen, Adrian Zemed stinks on ice. The guy is the worst, but he was on T.J. Hooker.
But it wouldn't even matter if he stunk on ice. It would be whether he was in the public eye, you know.
And he was.
You can be a has-been and still be good.
And but he's a has-been.
Yes.
But I get what you're saying. At some point.
Now, come on. Take some of that goodwill you showed your wife and direct it towards some of these stars.
Spent on the goodwill.
I know. I think.
I need an IV.
Right, right.
God, I'm a
dying man. We all know you're a tough guy. Don't worry.
I'm tough on the outside.
Right.
You know the truth. On the inside, I cave immediately.
I understand.
I could have two aces. Third card coming. I fold. That's me.
Wow.
Too rich for my blood.
But my point was that even being in the has-been Hall of Fame, you can have, you know, in your day, which may not be your day anymore, you could have been somebody who was very special.
Yeah, and we started with Adrian Zemed, and we talked about actually getting this thing going. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have the commissioner now. We're going to call Dick Van Patten.
Offer him the job?
I think Rob's already spoken with him.
Oh, good.
Rob, you set that up with him?
Yeah.
Hold on. Rob's had long conversations with Dick.
And the next... Actually, no, it's moved to the Andy Williams Moon River Theater. And stop by the HBHOF.
Stand by the what?
Hello.
HBHOF.
Hello,
Dick. Dick Van Patten.
Dick.
Hi, Dick. Don, Mike.
Yeah, it's Dick Van Patten, everybody.
Wow.
Dick, how the H-E double toothpicks are you?
I couldn't be better. Thanks.
Boy, we have kind of an odd connection with Dick right now. Where are you in Los Angeles now, Dick?
I'm in Los Angeles in my little house, yes.
In your tiny little house. Your beautiful, star-studded little house out there.
Should I call him back, Robin? Should we have him move to another location?
No, I think it might actually be our line. Can we try and call you right back, Dick?
Yeah, sure.
Great, okay.
All right, we're going to call Dick back.
Oh, hang on, right?
Okay. Yes, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bad cordless phone.
And it's a house out in Los Angeles that we have been to, Dick Van Patten's house.
May we call you back? Yes, I'll hang up.
How pathetic are we? It's the only famous person's house we've ever been to. Well, technically, yes. I mean, are you going to count Leah Remini?
No. Hey, Dick?
Yes, Don.
He's
at the bottom of the pool.
It's the same
portable phone, Dick.
Randy, I don't have a portable phone.
Maybe it's
a telephone.
Maybe it's the line out there.
Yeah, either way.
But, you know, I think it works for this segment.
Either way, Dick, it's great to hear you. How's the family?
Well, they're all good. I always feel bad because usually when you call, I'm not home and I get the message. I feel bad that I missed you. So,
but we love the jokes, though.
Oh, yeah. The joke, there's always a joke every week, yeah.
We appreciate that. And so all the
so
boys...
So you missed the joke because I picked the phone up.
Right, yes. Do you have a fresh one for us, Dick?
Well, the one that's on the phone now, you want to hear it?
Sure. Yes, please.
Okay, this Jewish guy goes up and beats this Chinese guy up. The Chinese guy says, "What are you doing that for?" And the Jewish guy says, "Because you bombed Pearl Harbor." The Chinese guy says, "I didn't bomb Pearl Harbor. It wasn't the Chinese. It was the Japanese." The Jewish guy says, "Chinese, Japanese, Philippine, they're all the same to me." The next day, the Chinese guy goes and beats up the Jewish guy.
Huh.
The Jewish guy says, "What'd you beat me up for?" He says, "Because you sunk the Titanic." The Jewish guy says, "I didn't sink the Titanic. It was an iceberg." The Chinese guy says, "Iceberg, Goldberg, Weinberg."
Bada bing! There you go. There it is. An oldie but goodie, Dick.
Oh, God.
Oh, you heard it. Jeez.
Dick,
you know, it's not easy. I come up with a new joke every week.
Every week.
I've been doing that for 15 years.
That's fantastic. Week. We love your answering machine.
I have yet to run out of jokes.
Mike and I try to hold ourselves to the same standard on our show.
This is
we
true.
Try to come up with one joke a week.
One joke per week, and sometimes we fail miserably.
Yeah, you know, I felt bad that one day I was in the parade in Virginia, and you were up on a balcony, and you waved to me, and I waved back, but I didn't get to talk to you.
Well, you were busy in the, you know, you were the, I think it was the Apple Blossom Festival. I was there with my two daughters, and
yes.
you waved, and we had a brief little chat as you were riding by in the parade, and it was
very
great.
Very little, yeah.
I appreciated it, Dick. I appreciate it.
Well, Dick, the reason we've invited you back for yet another season on our show is...
Commissioner of the Has-Beens?
Yes, now...
And not the Has-Beens, not just the Has-Beens.
It's the Has-Been Hall of Fame. You can hear this music. This is music by William Shatner. A little original song that he did for the Has-Been Hall of Fame. And we started the Has-Been Hall of Fame about a week ago with Adrian Zemed.
Now, have you ever had the pleasure of meeting Adrian Zemed?
I know Adrian, and I would not consider him a has-been.
Oh.
See, a has-been is somebody that was very popular and then never worked again. And if he walks down the street, people don't recognize him. But the man that you just mentioned, he just got through. He's been on the road for a year with Grease. He works all the time. And if he walked down the street, believe me, he would be recognized.
Well, you know, but it's kind of a comedic has-been.
But many of the has-beens would be recognized, Dick, and Adrian was thrilled.
He was
thrilled to get the
he got the joke. I'll say that. Yes.
Well, he's a nice guy. I know him. He's a terrific guy.
He's terrific.
Very, very talented.
Okay. Well, then, as commissioner of the Has-Been Hall of Fame,
does that mean you're gonna let the commissioner kick him out of that?
Well, listen. Adrian Zemed is in, but we're going to have to confer with Mr. Van Patten about future inductees.
Obviously, we are, and then perhaps discuss the comedic
element.
As
commissioner, I have to disagree with you. However, I know people that are true has-beens.
Name one.
Well, I would say that Robin on Batman, he never worked again. If he walked down the street, nobody would recognize him.
Oh, Burt Ward.
Burt Ward.
True has-been.
Okay. Sure.
All right. I would say that the little boy, Johnny Crawford, that was on Rifleman.
Right.
He's very popular on TV. Today, he worked again. If he walked down the street, nobody would know him.
True.
June Haver, who is the biggest movie star, just as big as Marilyn Monroe, Betty Grable, she married Fred McMurray, and she never worked again. And if she walked down the street, nobody... That's a true has-been.
A true has-been.
All right, so you want us to
Even that little boy that's talking about Michael... you know,
Corey Feldman?
Corey Feldman.
I would call him a true husband.
Okay. Now, hey, that's good.
Fair enough.
Good. See, the commissioner is already stepping up.
Let me give you a couple of names. You just tell me how you feel about these guys.
I probably won't agree.
Guys or girls, well, you know, maybe you will.
You never
what
know.
What about, are you familiar with Philip Michael Thomas, who is the black guy on Miami Vice?
Yeah.
Is he a has-been?
Since, has he?
He's what?
Don't think so.
No, he's not worked since.
Hasn't worked since.
Yeah, I would say he's sort of on his way to being a
husband. Yeah. All right. See? Now listen. See?
You correct me.
See, Dick has got some give and take.
Right.
How about... Oh, now this one I know you're not going to... But is why you're the commissioner. I mentioned his name last week. Bernie Capel.
Bernie Doc from the Love Boat.
Yeah, I know Bernie real well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a tough one.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, okay, that's a yes. Right.
Being a husband doesn't mean that you're not talented.
Of course not.
You know, and Dick, really, I have to, you know, I understand your criteria with being, you know, walking down the street and getting recognized, and I think Bernie Coppell might get recognized. It's just, you know, the body...
He never really worked again, did he?
The body of their work. Their most significant work is in the past.
And again, we're not going to call any of these people today. We're just having our first informal meeting.
I'll go along with that.
This is the first official meeting of the Has-Been Hall of Fame.
What about, hold on, now I know you'll say no to this, Fabio, is he still popular, is he a has-been?
I think we lost the connection.
Dick?
Oh dear.
He lost. The phone line just went Brando on us.
Membership in the HBHOF is an honor. This you should remember.
That's right.
Let me call
it
back.
It had a lot of rain in L.A. That's probably messed up the phone line.
I had no idea that Mr. Van Patten felt that strongly about Smed.
What's great is it's obvious he's taking the responsibilities as seriously as
we are. Yes, absolutely.
I guess we got disconnected.
Yeah, we're having a little phone trouble, but it's okay now, dude.
All right, let's just do one or two more names to see how you feel. What about songstress Helen Reddy?
Helen Reddy. Yeah, you know, I would have to say she is a husband. Now, let me tell you how big she was.
Okay. Oh, I know. She was gigantic.
Let me tell you, because I know the Johnny Carson show, the producer of the Johnny Carson show, when he would have Helen Reddy on, her manager wouldn't do it unless she was the first guest and she had to leave immediately, and they went along with it. That's how big she was.
She was a big star.
She is a true, that is a husband. And that doesn't mean, as I said before, that doesn't mean that she's not
she's
talented.
She's not talented.
No, they're very talented.
She sold millions of records. She was hot as a firecracker.
I would have to go along with that.
Yeah. All right, and then one more name we'll throw out until our next meeting, Fred Travellina.
No, because Fred is still working.
Oh.
He works in Vegas. He works all the time. And if he walked down the street, people would know him. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't recognize Helen Reddy, but they would recognize Fred. Now, Fed Travellini never stops working.
Okay. All right. Very good. Fair enough.
That's why you're the commissioner.
The problem is he hasn't done much TV, so you don't see him.
Okay.
He's doing club dates every week. He's making a lot of money.
Very good, Dick.
Well, Dick, as always, we appreciate your input. What we'd like to do maybe is get our list together, get it down to a list of 10, then have another meeting, and then contact the next person who's going to be in the Has-Been Hall of Fame.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes. I want to just tell you what I've been doing. I want to plug myself.
Oh, okay, go ahead, Dick. Go ahead.
I'll work tomorrow on that show, Arrested Development.
Oh, you're going to be on that show.
But I'm the guest star with Ben Stiller and myself.
Oh.
And I just came back from New York. I was starring in the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical, Cinderella, at the Lincoln Center. But anyway, I start work tomorrow on that show. It's supposed to be a good show.
That's a phenomenal
Arrested
show.
Development?
Great show.
That's
we
a
love
great
it.
Show.
Who are you going to be playing? What's your role going to be? Do you have any idea?
I'm a millionaire, a multi-millionaire that they come to borrow money from.
Cool. That's great.
We'll have a great time.
Seeing you on that show.
Well, let's talk before it airs, and we'll talk
Thanks for remembering me, and I'll be hearing from you.
And we'll talk to you again about the... HBHOF.
Thank you, Dick.
Have you been watching my son's show, the poker show?
You know, your son Vince was on the cutting edge of the poker phenomenon, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he's also in Vanity Fair this week. There's a whole article about him.
Oh, really?
Still hot.
Okay.
Has been.
Good talking to you.
You too, Dick. Our best to Pat and everybody.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Bye, Dick Van Patten.
Bye-bye. There he is, everybody. Star of Eight Is Enough.
The Intruder.
And way back in the day, was that show that's My Mama?
No, Life with Mama.
I remember Mama.
I don't know.
Don't remember anyway, the show.
That's too funny. He's really evaluated these people.
Yes.
And I love
his criteria is walking down the street.
Is Ellen ready? A has-been? Yes.
He and Gallagher both gave it a lot of thought. They're not taking it lightly.
Very serious about it. Serious show.
All right, so now we're going to have a meeting, and in the next month or so, we will induct the second person into the Don Mike Has-Been Hall of Fame.
Very, very exciting. And as Rob wrote down for me, membership in the HBHOF is an honor. This should be remembered.
Yes.
Or nothing.
That's good. I like you took it seriously.
Yes, and I do look forward to speaking to Capel.
Nice phone.
Thank you, guys. That's showbiz. That's a cordless phone.
And Capel was out, right? Capel was out or was he in?
No, he said that Capel was down, heading down the road to being
which
as
means for Dick Van Band to say that means they could be inducted.
That's right. Yeah. He was trying to be polite to Capel.
And I stand by Travelina.
Yeah, me too.
But if he's working in Vegas.
Listen,
he's constantly working. That makes a lot of money.
I have seen him on billboards in Vegas, but they might be off the strip.
So is Danny Gans, though.
Yeah, this is true.
Yuck.
Being an honorary inductee.
But that's why he's the commissioner.
He's the commissioner.
Maybe we have to abide by his wishes.
We could put Travelino on the board.
The commish makes me think of that show.
Yes. Michael Chiklis.
And I know...
Hello?
Hey. That commish guy. When do we have him? Right before the show starts? Who's that? Michael Chiklis? I know the name's not right.
It's either March 14th or March 15th.
Yeah. There you go. A lot of people like that show, The Shield.
Oh, The Shield?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, on FX with Michael Chiklis.
He's had a checkered career. He played Belushi and he played Curly in biopics.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, B.A.
Okay.
See you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Working actor Michael Chiklis.
Mm-hmm. He makes a lot of money.
Yeah, you'd recognize him on the street.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is, Rob. Don't ever call me again. I've just gotten done with a run at the Lincoln Center.
How about Dan Patton, though?
Yeah.
Arrested Development, one of the hottest shows on television.
Right.
He makes that pull. That was his way of telling us, you know.
He's still hot.
Yeah.
Not a has-been. Yeah, sure. How about Helen Reddy, Dick?
I know, has-been.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm just
not going to
understand now. I thought they were
going to
bam.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
retarded, Brittany.
Retarded.
Yes.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yes, retarded.
Uh-huh. Always immersed in thought. The Don and Mike Show.
Retarded.
Oh, you know who's on the phone?
Excuse me, Sly and the Family Stone. Hello, Scheme to Access Hollywood. It's Billy this time. Access Hollywood tonight, 7:30 on NBC4. Around the country, please be checking your local listings. Hey, Billy.
LW, here.
Lottery winner.
LW.
Lottery winner, Billy Bush. I'm amazed today. I'm just watching the news, and they're doing the coverage of Michael Jackson, and they come on with breaking news, which it never really is breaking news, but in this case, turns out to be that the creep is in the emergency room.
What caused him to go to the hospital, Billy?
Flu-like symptoms.
That's all you need to say.
I spoke with one of his good friends today, a guy who's sort of in the camp, and he was at Neverland this morning, and he said Michael had been feeling bad since Sunday. He got the flu from his children, and he'd been feeling bad since Sunday.
Now, Billy, when you say his children, do you mean
Harrison's his
children?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. His children, as opposed to all the children.
And it's not the stomach flu; it's the respiratory flu.
Yeah, he was sniffling. You know, the day before in court on Monday, he was sneezing and sniffling and all that stuff, but apparently when he got into the car, that's they were on their way, and he decided that it was too much to handle. Let's go check it out.
Of course, achoo.
You can't say that his nose was running, but his face was running.
From his nose. No,
so really,
no kidding.
Billy, I know this is the lead story on Access Hollywood. I don't know that it's necessarily a stunt, because this was only for jury selection, but What's up with this?
Well, if you want to, Diane Diamond will always suggest that it's a stunt, and she you know is the most scrutinizing of all. We have her on tonight's show suggesting. Remember the last time he did this, he was losing in court, and he came up with a spider bite on his foot. So he has a little bit of a habit of doing this. I think when the doctor, which is the case, the doctor calls the judge. The ER doctor calls the judge and says this is the case. It's the case. I mean, you're not going to find a respected doctor to call the judge and lie.
Well, on simply the reason that at this stage of the game, why, it would it matter anyway? Maybe he's being legitimate.
He's got the truth.
Right. So exactly.
How long did they put this off for, then?
Well, I think they're going to reconvene on Tuesdays, I guess, a week from today. He'll be in there for a few days.
All right, Bill.
But you know what, Don? Just schedule the next 2 years of your life for Michael Jackson. See, I think it's going to go on for quite a long time.
All right, watch Billy Access Hollywood tonight. NBC4, Billy, thanks for checking in. Sorry, we got to run. We will talk to you tomorrow, dude.
See you guys.
All right, bye-bye. He's cool. Billy Bush. Oh, good. Like that. Lottery winner, Billy Bush.
He loves that.
Because that's really why we have him on the show, like that Michael Jackson thing. You know what, though? Frig is going on.
I have the sniffles. The sniffles. It made me have the sniffles. Don't call me Jekyll.
Oh, I got that. Hold on.
This you should not do. What? You should not say he's an animal. Should not say he's Jackal. I'm not a Jackal.
Jackal.
Not a Jackal.
I'm going to cry. I've got the sniffles. Please take my temperature.
Oh. I am amazed that he didn't mention this as his lead story tonight. I read this today. This is great. Jenna Elfman.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Remember
Darman
Dharma.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Scientologist.
Yes. Okay.
Like John Travolta and Lisa Remini.
Right.
Uh-huh. And all these other people. Jenna Elfman has startled the entire Scientology community.
No.
In the new edition of Celebrity Magazine, she says she wants to make Scientology as accessible to as many people as she can.
Mm.
And it's her duty to clear the planet.
Clear the planet?
I originally thought that I would be as one with her, since my theory is thin the herd.
Right. Clearing the planet, like getting rid of people?
Well, she only wants to get rid of body thetans.
Body what?
Thetans. Don't worry, Mike. It's a made-up word.
All right.
Because they're aliens who Scientologists believe inhabit the Earth from a nuclear explosion 75 million years ago.
Body thetans?
Yeah, body thetans.
Body thetans.
Oh, yeah.
Basis of Scientology.
That's right. She says, the more successful I've become, the more of these aliens I've bumped into.
Sure.
And they are especially prevalent in the entertainment industry.
Wow. Now, hold on a second. Is this Jenna Elfman or is this Scientology?
No, this is Jenna Elfman and...
But I mean, what I'm saying is
No.
Do they teach this stuff in Scientology? As I've never read about Scientology, I don't know anything about it.
Let me see. Someone from the Scientology says her comments reflect an increasingly paranoid view of the world around her in which she appears to have cleared house of all the suppressive people. So I don't know.
This is whacked out.
Then someone says she's just she's angry at all the people who are critical of Scientology.
Sure. See, I don't know anything about Scientology, and I'm not sure whether these aliens are part of it.
Oh, I know everything about it. You drink goat blood, and then you sacrifice your second-born son.
Really?
The weirdest thing is you wouldn't expect that a religion founded by a science fiction writer would have anything wrong with it.
Are you talking about L?
Oh, yeah.
L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah.
Right. Jenna Elfman hasn't worked lately either.
That's true.
So she could be bitter about that.
She could be in the Hall of Fame.
Definitely could be. You know who really could? Whoever the guy that was Greg.
Thomas Gibson.
He's been in some stuff recently.
How would you know that?
He actually works occasionally.
Anyway,
he's got something out like right now.
How great is that?
As long as there's shows like Matlock and whatever, those one-hour mystery dramas.
That guy will work. He's very similar to the guy from Law & Order.
Jerry Orbach?
No, the other
Chris
guy.
Knopf.
The other guy, no.
The brother?
No.
Which one?
The guy that was in the Killing Fields.
Which, the Nazi Fagan guy, the guy that acts like Columbo?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the guy
Vincent D'Onofrio.
The one that we don't like?
No, no, it's not that guy either.
Mm. Although, you know, that guy...
We're going to stay here until we get
you know
the guy
that guy
right.
is...
Sam Waterston.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The guy from Dharma and Greg's very similar to Sam Waterston. Where he can work for, you know, playing that kind of role for years.
And the guy from that Law & Order, the guy that we don't like, Vincent, whatever
D'Onofrio.
His name is...
You don't like him?
No, you know why?
You don't like him on Law & Order, or you don't like him in general?
I don't like him on Law & Order.
Because I loved him in some of the stuff he's been in.
He's like a mini Columbo. He does the whole thing, just one more thing.
Mm-hmm. You know why you have to like him?
Why?
Because he's Private Pile.
That's true.
Oh yeah.
You can never not like him.
Okay, that... That's a 100% winner, Mike.
But he's the one that it was collapsing on the set and blamed the fact that Bush was reelected.
That's right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but Rob... But that's Private Pile, Rob.
I forgot that.
Yeah.
Mike just gave the ultimate winning hand. I mean,
absolutely.
Listen, any argument about that dude...
Sure.
I was going to mention he's being replaced by the old Mr. Big from Sex and the City on that show.
No, and he's playing...
No, hold on. Forget it.
Yeah.
You win.
Yeah.
You win.
He's Private Pile.
And... God, I wish one of the thousands of Sunday nights at 9 o'clock that I wasted an hour watching that show and hating him, I wish you would have just called me and said, hey, friend.
Don't hate.
Don't forget that's Private Pile.
That's Private Pile.
Yeah,
also, the evil guy, a sort of obscure movie that I liked, horror movie called The Cell. He was the evil guy in The Cell.
And he played Orson Welles and Ed Wood. He was great in that, too. But he's not being replaced by Chris Noth. They're just going to be alternating.
Right.
Take some of the workload off of him.
Because he's too scary tired.
Well, Dick Wolf said there's too much work for him to do.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for clearing that up. And Mike, that's a big winner. How can I hate that guy? He's Private Pile.
Private Pile can never be hated.
Can't hate him. yesterday we mentioned that the Oscar people are uptight about Chris Rock.
Okay.
And his comments to magazines and stuff.
Yeah, who cares?
Now, Oscar producer Gil Cates.
Yes.
Gil Cates actually sent us a fax because we were one of the people that I'm sure that they sent thousands of these.
Sure.
It says, Chris Rock's comments over the last few weeks are meant to be humorous digs at a show that some people, obviously including Chris himself, think may be a bit too stuffy. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to can Chris Rock.
Good.
However, you should know that Matt Drudge, and I think I quoted him yesterday,
mm-hmm.
with some of these comments. Some of them I read in Entertainment Weekly, some off the Drudge Report.
Right.
One of the things that Drudge wrote was, Chris Rock said, only fags watch the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the actual quote was...
Guilty!
The actual quote was... I never watch the Oscars. Come on, it's a fashion show. What straight black man sits there and watches the Oscars?
Right.
Show me one.
That's what he said.
So, I mean, in one way, okay. On the other way, no, not really.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Chris Rock has the gig.
And I hope he's funny, and he certainly has the potential to be funny. Two specials ago, I enjoyed it more than his last special, and we'll see if he's still got his edge. Because he's been doing it a while. You never know with him.
And then there's just the dumb list of the Michael Jackson the people on the list to testify
on his behalf. I saw some video of Kobe when they were mentioning to Kobe that he was almost, and Kobe was like, really? And he kind of looked at the camera like, really? I don't know anything about that.
You've got this list, Elizabeth Taylor, Kobe Bryant, Stevie Wonder. Now, first, Stevie, did you see anything? I mean, come on.
You didn't see a thing.
Leno, who we mentioned yesterday, Lay King, Maury Povich, Ed Bradley, David Blaine, Deepak Chopra, Barry Gibb of the Bee Gees, Diana Ross, nice DUI, Quincy Jones, Backstreet Boy, Nick Carter, and his brother, Aaron Carter.
Oh, are these is this a list of character witnesses?
They are just witnesses for the defense.
Witnesses for the defense.
Being called, not necessarily come up and said, we want to, but they're going to be called and... Many relatives of the late Marlon Brando.
Oh, good.
Wow.
You know, these were actually furnished by the defense.
Yes. The defense also retains the right to call Chris Tucker, Emmanuel Lewis, Macaulay Culkin, and George Lopez. And, of course, I forgot, Corey Feldman.
George Lopez?
Corey Feldman is testifying for the prosecution.
Right.
What's amazing is I could have come up to you 10 years ago and said, look who's on Fantasy Island this week. Yes. And it would have been the same list.
Well, the strange thing about that list from the defense is that all of the people that you've mentioned, they are not all necessarily in Michael Jackson's corner anymore, and the most notable of that would be Elizabeth Taylor.
And a lot of them, you know, are plenty screwed up on their own.
Absolutely.
Hold on, here's a private pile update. Hello, Paul.
How you doing?
Hi, Paul, we're doing great.
Okay.
Paul?
Yes.
Yes, you called for...
Oh, we're just talking about the...
Get a nice cell phone, Paul.
He wants to say the private pile was the big bug in Men in Black.
Ah,
yeah. I don't know if that's true. I don't remember.
Yeah, but
Liz Taylor can barely walk anymore. She's got back trouble.
Didn't she have a falling out with Michael Jackson? Isn't she no longer in his camp?
I think he's mad at her. I think she still supports him.
Really?
From a distance.
We haven't heard from her for a while.
And remember, she's called by her gardener the old trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
The trampoline?
Yeah, because he was forced to be intimate with her.
Oh.
And her bad back.
Forced.
Yeah. And I have these facts for you about the Michael Jackson trial.
Okay.
Of the potential jurors that they have talked to, now they have 242 potential jurors.
Right.
Let me see. More than half of them are white.
All right.
A third of them are Hispanic.
Uh-huh.
And out of 242, six are black.
Well, they might be crying racism there. You know?
For the Michael Jackson trial, let me see. Oh, this is too good. The dumb boxing show that's being put off by Mark Burnett.
Yeah,
right. It's called The Contender, the one with Sly Stallone. That was,
right.
You know, they had the other one with, was it Oscar De La Hoya?
Yeah,
The Contender that did awful.
Right.
Listen, this is why these reality guys, every once in a while, you get a crappy idea.
Sure.
You stick with it and something happens. Follow me on this. One of the boxers that's going to be on this show, The Contender, killed himself yesterday. Now, here's why this is great for the show. They're not going. They're going to run the show with him in it,
right?
Because it's already been completed. They're not going to tell you if the guy who shot himself won or lost. You're going to have to watch.
He could still win.
Yes, the guy who killed himself could end up being the winner of The Contender.
Wow.
They are, of course, going to do the whole thing where they say, you know, we dedicate this season to what's this, whatever the guy's name is, Najee Turpin,
right,
Philadelphia.
Or Nitro is his stage name.
He offed himself. Yeah. And anyway,
so we don't know whether he's the winner or not.
No, we don't.
You have to, Mike, that's the magic.
Show starts next
month. You have to watch the reality show.
We're getting close. We're getting close to the Coliseum.
Yes, we are.
I think we're getting closer to the Coliseum every day.
This is the second reality show produced by Mark Burnett in which a contestant has committed suicide. The first one was Survivor Sweden. The first guy to get voted off the island in Survivor Sweden killed himself.
Wow.
This is two for Mark Burnett.
But it's the first time it's happened here in America.
Yes.
And what's great is that, I don't know, and whatever the stupid Hollywood thing is that they said Variety or whatever.
Right.
It's like somebody writes an editorial, a network with any class would cancel the show immediately. Are you kidding me? They get the call, this guy killed himself.
Mm-hmm.
They're popping champagne corks, and they go, this show that nobody was going to watch, everybody's going to watch to see if the guy who kills himself wins.
Well, it would be the same thing with the guy that fell into the fire. Remember that?
And
they be the same thing if they pulled that video, which they didn't. They showed every bit of that.
Yeah. And, you know, I keep seeing the ads. I know you and I talked about Survivor yesterday. I keep seeing the ads that this is the biggest and the baddest and the three.
Yeah, where they get really lost.
Three people are getting.
Except they've got cameras and the cameramen are communicating with the producers.
I'm afraid you're right. When you said about the Coliseum.
Yeah.
I'm afraid that's what the only thing that's going to get me really back on that Survivor bandwagon.
Right.
I'm not going to say death.
Right.
But I'm going to stick by my comment yesterday. Someone has to encounter an animal or a situation.
Where
they lose a limb.
Yes.
Then I'm back on the Survivor bandwagon.
Keep hoping, Don.
I'm still holding out for capitalism.
I do.
And tonight on Survivor, we're at the Colosseum in Rome. We actually have real lions.
And hold on a second. Here's two feel-goods. And this first one is too good. Okay, amazing coincidences. That's the name of this feel-good. Guy from Jay, Oklahoma. Guy's name is Scott Burton. called in for jury duty to be in the jury pool for a murder trial. Two problems. The guy that was that got the jury notice is dead. And the trial that they wanted him to take part in as a jury member is a trial of his death.
How?
His murder trial.
How weird is
you
that?
See, it's
like he's the victim?
Yes, and it's a it's a random thing in the county government, so somebody offs him, they catch the guy, then one night his widow comes home and there's something from the government. She opens it up and it's for the guy, it's for the dead guy.
I bet that happened before that.
Anyway,
I bet he got the jury notice before he got whacked.
Wow. It's kind of untrue, Mike. He died and he could have gotten a jury notice for anything.
Right.
But as it turns out, he got it 4 days after he was killed.
Oh, okay.
4 days after.
Wow.
And it was for the trial of his murder, though.
Wow.
Okay?
God, that's scary. We have the ghost coming in.
Ooh. Hold on. Dennis, something about more survivor suicides. Dennis?
Yeah, Bud mentioned that the first survivor voted off in Survivor Sweden killed himself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason that they actually, every survivor that gets voted off now, the first thing they make them do after they do their little walk of shame and record their final message or whatever,
right,
they actually have them talk to a counselor so they won't be tempted to do something like that again.
That's good.
Okay.
Dealing with all that rejection.
It's very good of Mark Burnett.
Because really,
big of him.
He knows what we want.
The network says it'll take care of the boxer's family.
We want... Oh, the dead guy.
Yeah.
Well, that's gonna, nice of them.
It's all going to be fine. Isn't that nice of him?
It's all going to be fine.
Jesus. One more for you. One more feel good. This would be the... was it at IKEA?
Yeah.
When they had the Swedish survivor.
We're at IKEA.
Because everything's at IKEA. This is just from the Mother of the Year file.
Ah.
Her name is Beverly Fisher from Smyrna, Georgia.
Hello, Beverly.
She's a bad mother. She was arrested for abusing her kids.
Mm.
But now she didn't punch them. She didn't hit them.
What did she do?
She threw beer cans at them. Their kids are 11 and 14. She threw beer cans. And also she threw a knife at one of them.
Mm-hmm. That's not good.
Ask why.
Why'd she do that?
They wouldn't roll her joints for her.
Well. How dare they?
Kids today.
What's wrong with kids today?
Jesus. The 11-year-old said, I'm going to call the police. And that's when mom picked up, and I'm reading this now verbatim, a can of Old Milwaukee.
Ah, yeah. Hey, it's cost-effective.
Slung it across the room, and boom.
You'll never read this about my kids.
That's knocked his ass out.
The well-priced beer consistent with flour.
All right, that's feel good. That's all the time we got for that. Now we got time for you.
Yes.
We got time for the phone scam.
Hello.
We've talked to the movers and shakers already on today's show. Lady Frida.
Gallagher.
Dick Van Patten.
Now we're ready for you people.
And Billy Bush. Now, finally, in the pecking order, it's you.
Yes. You've been waiting.
877-365-3636 is our toll-free number. From anywhere in America and Canada, you can call 800-636-1067.
Come to us, my darling.
Counselors are standing by.
Yeah, phone scan. Your calls. A rotating random phone scan. Live on-screen calls coming up.
Is the Don and Mike Show.
Coming up next.
Why is your footlocker unlocked?
Sir, I don't know, sir.
Private Pyle, if there is one thing in this world that I hate, a wonder.
Sir, no, sir.
Well, now, let's just see if there's anything missing. Holy Jesus. What is that? Who is that, Private Pyle?
Sir, jelly donut, sir.
A jelly donut?
Sir, yes, sir.
How did it get here?
Sir, I took it from the mess hall, sir.
Is jell allowed in the barracks, Private Pyle?
Sir, no, sir.
Are you allowed to eat jelly donuts, Private Pyle?
Sir, no, sir.
And why not, Private Pyle?
Sir, because I'm too heavy, sir.
Because you are a disgusting fat body, Private Pyle.
Sir, yes, sir.
Then why did you hide a jelly donut in your footlocker, Private Pyle?
Sir, because I was hungry, sir.
Because you were hungry.
The Don and Mike Show.
You're fired. You're an incompetent.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Word from our team.
Thank you.
New chairman.
Yeah, I know that. Giving him some pub. Howard Dean. Good guy to lead our party. Feel good about that.
Yeah, so do I.
www.dynamikewebsite.com. That's our official website. You should know that by either tonight or tomorrow, we will have on the website, you'll be able to download a quick time real player, whatever it is, the Morris Jones DVD.
Oh, yes. Oh,
the mini movie that he made with his graphics and the Hooray for Hollywood and everything.
How exciting is that?
That'll be up on the website.
When you're there, check out the store.
Okay. Our souvenir shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Please do.
Yeah. You know who doesn't go to our store, though?
Who?
That jerk Joe Gibbs.
Oh, now stop it. You don't mean that. You're joking. You're causing trouble, you.
But I would
you're
like...
You're being a muckraker or whatever. No, you're a gadfly.
See, right now, all the people that run this station, WJFK, here in D.C., are out at Redskins Park. And they're a bunch of nervous Nellies because they're doing this phone-in thing with the coach of the Redskins, Gibbs, tonight.
Yes.
And he quit working at the AM station because he didn't like the way the DJs talked about it.
Right. Or the way they talked in general.
Yeah, I guess what they
and
said...
And you're just trying to be a troublemaker.
No, yeah. I'm serious, Mike.
You're a pot stirrer is what you are.
Listen, Joe Gibbs is a jerk. Have you ever seen
now the way... Now stop it. You don't mean that.
Have you ever seen the way he treats people?
You like him.
He's very
you've
nice.
Said that. I've heard you say that.
Have you ever seen a...
We get closer to the time I'm going to be counterpunching
Have you ever seen a ruder man?
Yeah, now, I'm plenty. He's as nice as they come. You're being silly, you.
A man who... Can I say this? Faith means nothing
now
to him.
Now stop it. Now
no,
you're
no,
being
you,
silly.
You can't say that.
Quite the opposite is true. No.
He's just a total jerk.
Now stop it. You don't mean that. Why should I care? But you know, but you love the fact that I care.
I know.
Because I basically am the face of management. Here I am. I'm that nervous face of management, and I always
have been. Joe the jerk.
Your sarcasm is not lost on myself.
Where's Coach Jerk?
Yeah, now stop. Now seriously.
Because he's such a bad guy.
All right, now he's not. You know what I mean? Nothing could be further
from the truth. He's so awful. He treats people so bad.
Stop it, please.
You see the game last year?
You're deliberately embarrassing me in front of Larry Michael.
See the game last year? He gave the finger to the fans.
No, he's never done that in his life.
Yes, he did.
No.
You're being silly.
And what about when he did that Randy Moss dance?
You're being silly. Okay.
When Joe gets you out of the Randy Moss dance.
I have alimony payments, okay? All right. Here we
I
go.
Know you have alimony payments. Yes. I know that's your way of saying shut up. But
hey,
I'm telling you.
Hey, management, here's a message from Mike, okay? Bring Donnie into the loop once in a while, okay?
No,
Michael,
Mike,
call him into your office a little more often.
Listen, this has got nothing to do with being in the loop. It's too funny.
I know.
It's too funny. I knew about it. It's too funny. It's just funny.
Yes, I know.
Because they're listening right now.
Yeah, I know they are. I'm aware of that fact. Yes.
Yeah.
The jerk and a bunch of other people.
God.
I'm sure they have the speaker.
God! Oh, mercy.
Oh, come on. Everybody knows. It ain't Gibbs the one that I dislike.
Right, I know.
It's the little guy.
I know.
Stuart Little.
Yeah, and a few others, too.
Yeah. But Gibbs is the biggest problem of all.
Stop it. God.
You worship him.
It's too funny.
Oh, dear me.
You know, I was
Oh, mercy.
I'm trying to think of somebody who has, you know, as equally a pristine image. It's like saying Cal Ripken. Can I tell you something? Cal Ripken is probably the biggest jerk on the face of Toof, on the face of God's greener.
You're comparing the two. Cal had a little more wobble than Joe Gibbs.
You think so?
Yeah.
No, I think Joe's a bigger jerk than Cal. Stop it.
Go ahead. Knock your socks off.
Show them. Coach Jerk. Most hated man since Jimmy Stewart.
Yes.
Most hated man since Tom Hanks. Tanya.
Certainly in this town.
People hate Gibbs.
Yeah.
Boy, get ready for the hate calls tonight.
That's right.
Please. And with Larry there, can I tell you something?
Sure.
I'm doing an act. Okay, Mike's right. I'm doing an act. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a show. I'm just trying to get management uptight. But nobody behind the scenes has said what a bigger jerk Joe Gibbs is than Larry Michael.
No, off the air especially. Couldn't agree more.
No.
And now it becomes funny. Yeah. Now you'll play along.
Sure.
Now
I picked my spot.
Now you play along.
He's got to get me on the right cause.
What is it that Larry said to you, Mike, about Joe the last time that you were speaking?
Jerk.
Yeah. Jerk face?
Yeah, jerk face.
Big jerk face.
Yeah.
Big jerk face.
Yeah, I don't want to play anymore.
Were you there when Larry said, hey, jerk, don't you understand how to rule those challenges? Don't you understand about pulling out the red flag?
Sure, absolutely.
Jerk.
Yeah. Oh, they're all sitting there right now. Turn those monitors down.
All right, let's take phone calls. Let's do the phone scam. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi there. Don and Mike show. You are on the air. Hello.
How you doing?
First one, we'll let you
know. Yeah, we'll let you slide. Everybody pay attention. She was
I know. I know. I caught myself.
And, of course, now you're talking when we're talking, too.
But that's the
now
glory.
That's the second problem.
That's the glory. That's the honor of the phone scan. What can we do for you? Any idea?
Yes, I do. I have a Dick Van Patten question for you.
All right, my lady.
Do you know if he does a brand of natural dog food?
Yeah, it's some. Oh, here comes
the expert,
the human.
You
Van
might want to know whose brain that fact might be in.
Encyclopedia. Yes, Rob.
That he's currently showing dog food, all natural dog food, and also a video series on how to get your kid into show business.
Oh, that's good.
What about goodbye, darling?
How about Durashear?
Yeah. What about the they will cut a penny.
They can cut a penny, and also he's got that sleight of hand stuff he sells.
The magic.
Yeah. Well, Don and Mike's show. Hello. Phone scan.
I don't
want to. Oh, see, people can't deal with the incredible 80 seconds of delay that we have now.
And he sells windows.
Yes, hello. He does.
Yeah.
Don and Mike show. Dick Van Patten does.
Yes.
Hey, he's a quadruple.
Jamie Farr, I think, sold the same windows.
Yes. Ooh, hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey.
I only sold them for a while. I don't know when it was. Windows 98.
Yes.
Something like that.
You were good at it, though.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
How are you?
Oh.
I've been warned.
For the last time. If you've not been listening to the whole show, you know how we are.
I know.
Hold on.
It's not that easy.
No, you know what?
No, you're
forget
just
it. Forget it. Just because you have different organs doesn't mean you get cut to the front of the line.
And also because of the I know.
Right.
Well, you know.
You're a dumb chick. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Greetings from the land of Grant Napier and lottery winners.
Yeah. Thank you. We know what Sacramento's like. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
I just wanted to call and say that I think maybe since Rita is on your case a little bit, that maybe she's the one that might need to take the Paxil or whatever it is to calm herself down a little.
Yes. And what Paxil are we speaking about?
Well, Paxil or, you know, whatever antidepressant drugs that they're out there. That
he would be referencing the conversation you related early in the program.
Yes, I know. Just trying to dig him into a bigger hole.
I can give her
much as I'd like to do with my wife.
You can get some of Robert Zoloft if you want.
Zoloft from your kid.
Don't do the Paxil, though.
No.
I'm thinking about cyanide.
In small doses.
Don and Mike show.
Over
hey, guys.
Time.
Hey, hi.
I'm calling from Reno with an Adrian Zemed update.
Okay, a has-been Hall of Fame update from Reno, yes.
Exactly. There's a billboard on the side of a casino here that says Perfect 10 starring superstar Adrian Zemed from The Bachelor and Grease 2 with the Perfect 10 girls live on stage.
The Perfect 10 girls?
Yeah.
So Adrian Zemed, who's the first member of the has-been Hall of Fame.
And took it like a man.
Yes. Has a gig. Yeah. He takes it like a man every... That was the finger guy and I got him.
Oh, I missed that.
He started by singing your jingle.
Oh.
And then went right to... He said,
gotcha.
You're at, oh man. I'll drink my finger.
Watch out.
Yeah. Finger guy.
I love it. Thank you more.
Hello, Don and Plank Show.
Bring it.
Bring it strong. Bring your finger strong.
Bring it strong.
Bring two fingers.
If you're going to say it out, what is it? Play it out or whatever, though.
If you're going to lay it out.
If you're going to lay it out, play it out.
That's right.
Bring more than the index.
Yeah.
Bring the index finger.
Bring the up to the elbow.
you're a five-digit man.
Yeah. Oh, more than that.
Five-digit wrist.
Yeah.
Tricep.
You kept the wrist and the elbow joint.
Bicep. Hello. Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
I wanted to know, I was on Smoking Gun today, smokinggun.com.
Great site, we love it, we use it all the time.
Because of you, I go on there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered if you saw that Mary Kay Letourneau bridal registry with that Billy
Finelli or whatever his name is.
Yeah, they are registered. Is it a Target they're registered?
Macy's.
Yeah, I knew it was a store, yeah. Thank you.
Well, they wanted a pickle dish.
Yeah.
One ugly dude.
Well, that might have started the whole problem.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
They would have just put it in a dish.
Yes.
Hello. Yeah.
The pickle dish.
Hello, dear.
Don.
Yes.
Have you heard that the survivor guy, Jeff Probst, fell in love with one of the survivors?
Yeah, she's a hot one.
One of the hot contestants, yeah.
Oh.
Thank you.
I thought it was...
Thank you for boring me.
I thought that was news.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Radio God.
It was not worthy, Ron.
I want you to know how much I enjoyed that interview with JB, and I'd like to know if there was any follow-up with Rich Eisen.
Rudy, hold on a second, my friend. You mean Rudy, that old guy from the old Survivor? Yeah, that's...
Rudy Pouch.
That's what Jeff Probst is having an affair with.
Yeah. All right, come on, Jeff.
Rudy Pouch.
The limo's waiting.
Listen, here's the update. JB... we love JB. We'll have him on in football season. And I think at other times as well this year. He's got a lot going on. As far as Dick Eisen goes, not one word.
Not a word?
No. Not a word.
That would be the end of that.
Not a word.
Oh, well.
However, a lot of great shows with him sitting on the beach over in Hawaii.
I can't imagine why he's not calling back.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
We know our boots though, Radio God.
I'm not even really started on Rich Eisen. I've never really gone into great detail about what a letdown he was to me.
Yeah.
That we went, not we, I'll take the bullet for this. I went to the company and said, listen, we have a football guy on the show every year. I think this guy, Rich Eisen, when he was on ESPN, slayed me.
Mm-hmm.
Caustic, funny, spoke his mind,
right.
Kind of had that smarmy, like when Craig Kilborn used to be funny thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know that we were going to get Mr. White Toast, Mr. What do you think about the games this weekend? Well, I can't even. I mean, guy sent me an email after the first time he was on the air. Please don't mention I'm a Jets fan.
Right.
Well, he even relaxed as the season went on.
A bit.
But I guess behind the scenes, especially when it culminated with the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl fever.
Things got very, very tense.
Uptight.
Because, you know, guys like Rich, those TV guys, they get their asses kissed. They go down there, and I mean... God, he's the whore for the NFL. He's on every commercial. He's at every single event that they do, the Hall of Fame stuff. He's there, and I don't know. Dude didn't have a sense of humor.
No, I'm going to miss him because I loved watching his show.
I know.
And I'm with you. I mean, it's like, you know, hey, they come, they go. It's like, but you weren't as committed to him as I was.
You know, it's returning. I still watch the stupid show.
Of course.
Still watch it.
My question would be, how the hell do you find it?
212, Mike.
Yeah. Of course.
DirecTV.
Oh, you talk about oblivion.
Don't you have the favorites thing on your channel?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Now, when you're watching the show now, do you talk to it? Do you tell them how disappointed you are?
No, but I'll tell you what I do.
Look what you did to me.
Do. I do call Rob, and I do say, like I did two or three times last week, hey, turn on the show.
Oh, and you make fun of him?
Yeah. Look at Eisen.
It ain't
look,
hard, not when they're in Hawaii.
Look at the set. Look at his feet.
Right.
Look how uncomfortable he is.
But isn't that kind of a form of love for him, really, of wanting him back?
No. I don't want him back.
It's the final nail, really.
Yeah. I gave him the chance. I wrote him the letter that said, I'm sorry. You know, and not, I'm sorry if you were offended. And incidentally... All we did was put the guy on hold,
right,
on and off for 8 minutes.
And he could have either shown that he had a sense of humor and that he was the bigger guy, or he could storm off in anger.
He's humorless.
There are different calls.
God, everybody, back off on the guy, okay?
I know
you're a big supporter of his mind.
Viewing habit of Mike's.
Don makes other calls. He'll call me and say, turn on Jim Nance. Look how magnificent he is.
The AT&T Pebble Beach.
Hey, I'll tell you what I did see, though.
Fantastic.
Magnificent!
I tell you what I did see on Sunday night during the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. Susie Colbert was wearing a halter.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And,
hello. Is this Susie Colbert the one that Joe Namath fell in love
said,
with?
Yeah, right. Yes. I want to kiss you. Yeah. What?
She got the Muppet voice.
You know, I read where Joe Namath put himself into a like one of those 12-step programs.
Isn't
after that
sad, Mike? Really?
It's ridiculous.
Isn't that sad?
What's that all about?
He's number 12.
No one likes a quitter.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey guys.
Hey.
I was cleaning up some old digital photos on my computer the other day. I came across a picture of cicada taken from last summer, and it reminded me of the episode, Don, where you were eating those live cicadas.
Yeah. You know what? That is worthy of mentioning.
Yep.
I don't think you even appreciate Do you remember, you know what Wood told me that when all the young boys were popping in here, you know, the 20-something
were coming in,
staring at you, and you didn't just eat a cicada. You were popping them into your mouth like they were
20 or 30 at a time.
Yeah. Like they were M&Ms.
Bugs, who cares?
They sounded delicious, and I thought to myself, Don, 17 years from now, when these things come burrowing out of your belly button.
That's gross. That is so nasty.
Listen, 17 years from now, you can come and
they're bugs.
Lay a flower on my grave site.
I could never eat a cicada. It would gross me out too much. Yeah. This is from the man who doesn't like his food touching. This is from the
man who goes to the
Palm restaurant every time.
Complex.
Mm-hmm. You know, strange.
I'm a complex man.
I remember he said it's wiggling, and then he'd bite, and it would crunch. He'd say it's squirting.
Mm. You enjoyed the wiggling and everything like
that.
Yeah,
that's right.
It tasted nutty, didn't they?
Yes, it did. And a little coppery.
Everyone's hero.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. I loved eating bugs.
Hey, Don and Mike.
I eat almost Gallagher. Any bug. Gallagher? Oh, get out of here.
Kevin Gallagher.
Oh, get out of here. Would you stop that with that? Hello, Don and Mike. That wasn't even funny, was it?
Yes, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, I just wanted to publicly thank my buddy for turning me on to your show. He's just like hounding me and hounding me. You gotta listen. Good. I'm like, well, I don't want to listen to these two guys from Washington, D.C. I'm out in the Bay Area.
Right.
But now I'm hooked, and I love you guys.
Well, tell your buddy thank you for us.
Thank you.
No, what other question?
And don't forget, use a condom. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oh, well, he's sitting in San Francisco, I'm just assuming.
With his buddy.
Assuming. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey, the Grammy pregame show, if you will, the other night with Fat Star Jones.
Yes.
Did you guys notice that she is so veal-like that she could not hold that microphone with her left hand? She had to lay her right arm across her stomach and prop that microphone up.
Didn't catch that, my friend.
Veal-like. You know, I logged maybe 2 minutes with The View today, and I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you can sit through that show. That show drives me insane.
I don't know how you can watch that show and not immediately want to go to the men's room and just enjoy what you've just seen.
Meredith Vieira do it for you?
They all do.
Joy Behar.
The young one, the pregnant one. Joy Behar. Baby. No, you know what? I watched that show, basically.
They all do talk at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't call it what would I call it in real life. But
right.
I think sometimes I watch that show seriously because I want to know. I want to know about CT.
CT. Mm-hmm.
Some kind of talk.
To see what they're talking about.
Yes. Because God knows, I mean, I get enough of it in real life, but I'd like to see what famous women talk about.
Exactly.
And the first 20 minutes of that show is all CT. Mm-hmm. It's all just how awful men are. And
are you doing something else when you watch that show? I mean, are you working out or are you on the treadmill?
Yeah.
Are you doing,
I'm not sitting, what do you think, I'm sitting and like eating candy and watching The View?
You say you watch it. I don't know what you're doing when you're watching TV. How the hell am I supposed to know what you're watching?
Mike, a lot of times I'm really working out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
But I mean, even with it, see, now it makes sense. If you're doing something where you would be on a treadmill or something and it might be a little more of an effort to change the channel and it's just there.
I got to be honest, like today. I got on the treadmill after Regis, which was fantastic. Regis screwed up their contest. He's such a great old man.
See, Regis would be, there's some entertainment value.
He doesn't understand anything about the contest. But today when I watched The View, I was, I know why I was sitting there, because I was fighting with my wife. So I just went in my room and just shut the door.
Oh, okay.
Just went in the room and shut the door. Wanted to see what the CP was all about today.
Right. It just seems to me when I watch that show today, you're dealing with, we call Billy Bush the lottery winner.
Oh.
I'm looking at women that are the ultimate lottery winners.
Here's the thing. I watched that show, and there's a part of me that watches it to try to understand what women think. And then there's a part of me that watches it and man, I gotta be careful because I'm just coming off this Valentine's Day thing.
Yes.
I watch The View, but it makes me hate women even more sometimes.
Attaboy.
Because I watch it and it's like, God, there are such idiotic, moronic things they're saying, and the audience is full of the Stepford Wives. The big fat ones. Yes, yes, oh, yes.
Right.
Tell me about it, girlfriend. Tell me about it. Please. Go to hell.
It reinforces your beliefs.
But I watch it.
I think I just understood why you watch The View now.
But I watch it. I mean, and sometimes, like, that's how I found out that chick on Desperate Housewives wasn't gay.
Okay.
We were going to talk about it that day,
right.
and Joy Behar said to her, first thing she came out, are you a lesbian?
Mm-hmm.
Joy Behar.
Joy Behar.
Yeah.
Star Jones.
I agree.
Meredith Vieira.
Hey,
yum. Break me off a piece of that.
No, listen. I'm telling you, Meredith Vieira is okay.
Oh, I've always thought.
God,
so.
No.
No, she's a dirty birdie.
She might be a dirty birdie, but believe me, that is post-wall, gentlemen.
I haven't seen her lately, but in her day, she was lovely.
Check out her ass.
Check out the Larry King neck.
Oh, Mike, you don't. Please never say you don't. The neck.
Yeah, that's true.
And, that girl from Survivor, that Hasselbeck,
she's cute.
And pregnant.
Yeah, well, I know you like that.
You know.
Turn on city.
So bad. Wow. Hello. Don and Mike show.
You're watching the show for all the right reasons.
She's just to the point where it's not gross yet.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there. Don't be gross in about, I don't know how far along she is.
So not gross yet. What is she, 8.5 months?
Yeah, thank you. Hi, Don and Mike. What can we do for you?
Don and Mike, we love you out here in Folsom.
Folsom. We didn't catch Folsom the other day when we were talking about Modesto and Stockton and Chico. Folsom counts too.
Chico.
Hey, I've been listening to you guys for 10 years. I love your show.
Thank you for the biography.
I took a wild ride out to Folsom one night with Daryl Nichols. After an afternoon drinking wine, and we ended up in somebody's Jeep.
Hello? In my show.
Hi, it's Ken Stevens, new Scientologist.
Okay, you know, no. No, see, stop it for a second.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. That was a good phone scan because it was a good mixture of frankly, your inadequate calls and our platter chatter.
Our keen insights into the witty issues of the day.
Observations. Kept the show moving. Mm-hmm. Kept the show on point. Mm-hmm. I mean, we filled time talking about The View, talking about CT. We come to you for calls. What do we get? We get some guy's freaking bio.
Right.
We get another guy who's trying out material for the funny bone.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Not fair.
Not acceptable.
Bad material.
Not acceptable.
Not good.
Now we've got a choice here. We can go on to the next segment, which we've got planned.
Right.
Or we can continue the phone scan. Mike,
I don't know. I have a perverse desire to continue.
Well, can I just give you a hint?
Perverse.
Can I just give you a hint as to what at least I had planned for next?
Yeah.
And then really, you make the call.
All right.
Okay.
Boy.
So.
Thanks for laying it on me.
Well, no.
Can I take it over to Buzz?
I don't trust him for an important decision like that. Right. No offense, Buzz.
No, none taken.
Mike, you know what I mean?
At this hour of the show,
yeah.
I hate doing this.
Say
it makes me feel like a quitter.
What?
I don't want to quit on that phone scan.
So you want to go back to the phone scan?
I do.
Okay.
But I don't wish to be blamed for it.
Listen, like Haunt for Cash is going to be an outstanding comedy success.
No, it's not. There might be a gem caller in the next segment.
Well, I had Haunt for Cash ready to go. But, you know, listen, I go with you on this call.
But can I make a request?
Sure.
Sometime in the next week, can we do Haunt for Cash?
No, we can do it tomorrow.
All right, very good.
Do it tomorrow if we don't have Gallagher on again.
I have a feeling that hey, here we go. Here's the insane statement of the day. I have a feeling in the next segment, we're going to get some great calls.
Listen, don't feel any pressure.
I do.
I endorse your decision to continue with phone calls.
No pressure.
Why are you pushing your head like that?
Because I feel the pressure on my brain.
You're going to make your eyeballs pop out if you do that.
My pressure is like I've got a Joy Behar Star Jones sandwich. Oh, pressure, ladies.
Ooh. It's academic, but I would have chosen Honk for Cash.
Thanks a lot, pal. Thanks. I hope you pop like a cicada.
Mike, can do. Good news. We can do Honk for Cash tomorrow.
Exciting news is what that is.
We can continue with the phone scan.
I really feel it. I feel it this time. We're going to get at least one great call.
However, I want to tell you something on this next phone scan. Really, the callers have to carry the phone scan.
Yes. Oh.
I can't keep peppering with all these great witty asides. Mike can. Mike, aren't you exhausted after that last phone scan?
I'm exhausted, and I've got a low-grade headache.
And look at Buzz.
Yeah.
He's one step away from death.
I'm better now, actually.
For goodness sakes.
And
congratulations, boy. You're probably in the best shape mentally of anybody in this room.
Yeah, right.
So, Against my better wishes.
Okay, very good.
Because, Mike, you called the audible, and I stand behind you.
You will not be disappointed.
We'll continue with the phone scam. as opposed to honk for cash.
Sure.
Which is really like saying, okay, now listen, here's the deal. I'm going to shoot you, mafia style.
Right.
Do you want it in the mouth? Or do you want it in the forehead?
Yeah.
That really is what we're saying right now.
And isn't that exciting in its own way?
You know what we're doing then?
Playing the percentages.
And as I always say, at least it's not a knife.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed a joint. Like these two f***ing balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand? Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show. Working amongst the drones.
Yes.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
Tommy James. Sean Bell. We're going to go with the overtime phone scam. Hence, none of the catchy music that
now,
would indicate
I
a phone scam.
I want to tell our listeners.
Yes, Mike?
That I'm on the line for this one. All right, this phone scam will be a reflection on me personally.
Mike, we live and die together with the decision.
Thank you.
God knows, and it's only been, I can only think of two or three times in the 20 years we've worked together, where I've made a bad mistake in my calling of the show. And you've always stood by me.
I have.
When we've done the occasional bit that's gone nowhere.
Yeah, let's be honest. Occasionally, those silly little voices, you know, sometimes it's just not quite zeroed in. And you stand there the whole time and support me and applaud and laugh and everything else.
So, Mike.
All right, you're saying you'll take this bullet with me.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
Gave you the chance for the audible. I mean, and listen, what was the other audible?
Honk for cash?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, still, I'm going to be very, very curious.
Which I still consider to be a home run any time we play it. Huh?
I'm still going to be very curious about these phone calls.
Sure. Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
It's the bonus phone scam.
Hi there.
I just wanted to talk about whether Joe Gibbs is the biggest jerk in the world. But I'd like to play devil's advocate with you guys on this.
Okay, and incidentally, that's a movie that is not on enough, and
True.
It was on over the weekend. And I want to tell you something. I stick with Devil's Advocate every time. As much as I belittle Al Pacino.
And a sexy movie, Devil's
mm-hmm.
Advocate.
Oh, yeah.
You don't get a chance to see Charlize Theron.
Especially that church scene.
Yeah.
Boy, she's...
Oh, my.
I mean, keep in mind, she's all cut up.
Yeah, well, you look past the scratches.
That's right. He's so good in that movie. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, chewing the gum, and he's
Pacino,
got...
Pacino, not Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, right, Mike. Thank you.
That movie succeeds like they all do in spite of Keanu.
Oh, and I just saw, what's that other one that I love? Oh, Heat is coming out finally on DVD with a dual disc set, including deleted scenes.
And the new Keanu movie, I forgot what it's called.
It's called Crap.
Crap. Too much of the CGI.
It's called Crap.
Yeah, it looks like it.
It looks a lot like Neo goes to another movie.
Constantine.
It looks like Devil's Advocate without Pacino.
Without Pacino and too many special effects.
And see, I thought it looked like The Matrix without a computer.
I thought it looked like Bill and Ted.
Well, if you really look at The Matrix, sometimes during chunks of The Matrix, you'll just laugh. Because there's so much going on, it's just silly.
Yeah. I disagree.
When they drill
through... Are you talking about Matrix? Revolution?
I'm not sure. It's Reloaded, I think.
Or Reloaded.
When they drill through the ceiling,
yeah.
All the little creatures coming in, they all got their little robot arms. I laughed. I don't know why I laughed.
Oh, I know what you mean. When the guys
they've
like,
all got these like robots.
The guys in the Rock'em Sock'em robot thing.
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah, and they're and all just shooting.
He's got 8,000 robots coming at him.
Right,
and it's one guy in a robot suit, and he's going, take that, you son of a bitch!
Insane. Their prices are insane always.
So is Joe Gibbs.
Yes.
He's insane.
No, you don't mean that, of course.
Don and Mike Show. He's going to be on in less than an hour on this radio station.
Wow.
Because he's mad at the other radio station. Jesus. Joe, all kidding aside.
Oh, here we go.
If you want to be mad at any radio station, just on general principles, how could you not choose this one? I mean, really, I'm insulted.
Give him time. Oh, give him God.
Time. On behalf of the entire Bill O'Reilly staff, we're insulted.
Yeah, of course we are. We live in a state of being insulted.
Hey, you're on the air.
Well, let me play devil's advocate with you on that one.
Okay, all right, I got you. Go ahead, sure.
Yes.
Pardon?
Yes.
That was his argument.
Oh, boy.
That's what we waited for.
Okay.
Hello, Don.
All right, I'm taking it personally.
Mike, listen, don't worry. We saved it with our witty banter.
Yes, we did.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey.
I agree with you about Meredith Vieira. She's hot.
Yeah.
Okay, that's I'm being outvoted here. That's 3-1.
Except I want to say this about her. Same thing Kelly Ripa and a lot of women that are popular right now.
Yes.
Training bra. That's all I want to say.
Sure.
About Meredith Vieira and also Kelly Ripa.
Right.
Absolutely.
I'm all for training.
And I mean, they're grown women, for
yes,
God's sake.
Exactly.
That's one thing I like about Behar.
That's my
numbers.
Hello, WJFK.
Bottom mic.
Yeah.
Radio gods. Do you guys know you can beat Ken Jennings now?
Really? With a baseball bat or with fists or what?
No, it's a new game that's coming out in April. Yeah. Can you beat Ken Jennings for $24.99?
I want the game to beat him, to physically beat him. I saw him in a commercial last night.
Singular.
Yeah, the guy, wasn't his whole thing that he wasn't going to make anything out of this? He wanted to just go back to his life?
It's so obvious that he got handlers because he's,
yeah.
You know, he's just not good on outside of that format with that commercial. He's terrible.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Bless you, Mike.
The real question that I have for you, Don, is when these cicadas come burrowing out of your belly button, will you eat them again?
Yes, I will.
It's all the circle of life, sir.
Everything that comes in goes out, and then it comes back in again.
It's the way it works.
Everything.
Circle of life.
I'm like that movie, The Fly.
Well, I was thinking Lion King.
I eat it, regurgitate it, eat it. Mm-hmm. Don and Mike, hello.
Don and Mike.
Yes, we are.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
I have a message. For the gapers.
Who are the gapers? Who are the gapers?
They're tourists. They gape while they drive.
Gapers, like, from what town?
What city are you?
Like the Bay Area, San Francisco.
Uh-huh. The gapers. The West Coast. So what's wrong with gapers?
Oh, they're stupid.
Not necessarily. Sometimes you can take advantage of gapers, you know. I was telling you that there was that building fire on 28 when I was coming in today.
Yes.
And the gapers allowed me to go down in the turning lane and zip down almost a full mile to get to the left turn where I could get around them. If I hadn't had the gapers, because everybody was like, fire.
Oh, right. That was like freeway gapers.
Yeah, if I hadn't had those gapers, I wouldn't have made it to work.
Hello, Don and Mike show. And thank God you weren't close enough to the fire to get gaper vapors.
Gaper vapors. A yeah. Couple of those people had them.
Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
They wrote about it.
Gaper vapors.
Yeah, in paper.
Right.
Paper. Paper gaper vapors. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Gay vapors.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Yes.
isn't that a comedic sensation? Geez, what's his name?
I don't know. Thanks. You're really prepared. Don and Mike show.
And it makes me look bad.
Mike, no, don't. We are shining. You and I are rising above this right now. This is a good phone scam.
It is.
People love hearing us interact with people who are not as smart as we are.
I believe.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
I got news for you. We're very stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm stupider than anybody.
Yeah, but we're all really, stupid in this room, and we fake it.
You're all dumb. You know, the room temperature is higher than the IQ in this room.
Right.
You know, over in Buzz's room, though, that's where the smart people live.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Hello?
It's where the people.
Hey, guys.
Yes.
Hey, this is Rudy Bosch. You know, I didn't even know that Jeff was queer until he hit on me.
Rudy Bosch.
That's a good call, Mike.
Rudy Bosch. That is a good call.
Don and Mike show. Phone scan. Hello?
This is JJ from Rochester.
Yes,
how you
JJ.
Doing and whatnot?
Dynamite.
That was an on-purpose whatnot.
I know, but still disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Dynamite.
Hello.
Beep, hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, I'm wondering if you guys watch The Bachelorette.
Do you watch The Bachelorette?
Hold on, yes. Let me check my
genitals. Excuse me.
Let me check my genitals for a moment. I'm a man, I do. Even though I watch American Idol, no, I don't watch The Bachelorette.
Any call is good that starts out with, I am wondering if.
You guys are missing out.
Missing out on The Bachelorette?
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Have you heard about the ending, the big ending next week?
What happens, Mike?
No, the ending's not next week. It's the week after.
Oh, I apologize. Yes, the week after, the beginning, they all kill each other. Enjoyed by fat women all across America.
They kill each other with butter knives.
Mm-hmm.
It's
the whole hour episode.
It's a long time to break the skin with a butter knife.
And then it ends right before the credits, just the last one standing. I think it's the broad.
Yeah.
Just one little twitch.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, fellas. I love you guys.
Thanks. We appreciate it.
Don, for the first time today, I felt a little sorry for you.
Having to deal
with Princess Frida, that is. You're playing a game you can't win.
Dude, I've played.
It's funny when you're getting lectured like by a 13-year-old.
I've played the game with her for 24 years, dude.
I understand.
And I'll tell you,
I'm going to take a bet now. I hope this guy's honest. I'm going to take a chance here. I'm going to say that I'm going to bet that this guy is younger than the time that you have been with your wife.
Oh.
How old are you, sir?
Guaranteed.
25.
I missed it by a year.
Very missed close. It by that much. Yeah, well, 24. We've been married 24. Anyway.
24.
The thing is with Valentine's Day, you're competing against yourself. If you buy her jewelry 1 year, what are you going to do? Go buy her flowers the next year?
Dude, shouldn't you be out listening to Green Day? I mean, really, who are you? Who are you your short, spiky hair and your black T-shirt? Get out of here, you American idiot. Like I don't know your music. I'll tell you what I do like, though. I like, is the guy's name Franz Ferdinand?
Franz Ferdinand, yes.
Is that the one, Buzz, that goes, nah, 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 nah. Well, if you're lonely.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Do, 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 bump. Ba-da-bop-bop.
Where do you line up on Los Lonely Boys?
Heaven, but that's like their only song, right?
Yeah, got him a Grammy nomination.
This guy Franz, is he German?
Oh, yeah, he's a total crowd.
Franz, wonderful.
Franz Ferdinand.
Lux by his record.
100% crowd.
Franz.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Now it's time to sing.
Hello. Phone scan.
Speak to us. Sing.
You are on the air.
Is it me?
Oh.
You've missed you on an opportunity.
Don and Mike Show. Hello. Honk for cash.
Come on, you're making me look bad.
No, Mike. No, I agree with you. Everybody was with you on it.
Jesus.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Oh, come on. Say something.
No, I clearly said I wanted honk for cash.
No, thanks a lot.
Then you're ill, Buzz.
I wanted the phone. Oh.
Hello, Don and Mike
Jackson. This is Michael Jackson. I'm calling. Would you be nice to me, please?
I like the way he had the double pump.
Hello.
And Michael Jackson. This is Michael.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
I am so upset with people who don't know how to call this program and speak. I don't know why they don't have anything to say.
What about you?
I have everything to say.
Right.
Here is what I have to say. I don't believe these people have nothing to say. It angers me. I am so beside myself.
But besides,
I can't get over it.
What do you
I
have to
angry.
Say?
What do you have to say besides that? This?
That's it.
Not good.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Well, maybe a little good.
They laughed. Hello.
Hey, Donaldo E. Miguel.
Yeah, hola.
The deacon called today.
I'm not going to ask because it's Deacon Who, and I think I know who your deacon. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
It's a dirty joke. What's the deacon joke?
I'll tell you in the break.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
It's a dirty joke, though, Mike. Deep, very dirty. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, hello.
It has nothing to do with Deacon Jones.
Okay.
It might.
Deacon Blue. All right,
hello.
Sir, now we have established that we're talking to you. What can we do for you?
Hey, yeah, dumbass. Let me use a word or a name that maybe you'll respond to. Idiot.
Yes, it's you, sir. You said Don and Mike, and now we're on the air with you.
Asshat.
Asshat?
Yeah, you.
There you go, right.
Yes. Do you have the Dom paper vapors? Ask Joe Gibbs if he has that.
That's it. Book him.
Okay, hold on. I'm finding it, Mike. Give me a second.
Book him.
Okay.
Congratulations.
The lawman now.
Sorry. You have been selected as a charter member in the Don and Mike exclusive listeners club. You are now a registered Don and Mike caller and are entitled to all the privileges that come with said title.
Don't hang up.
Be sure to watch your mailbox for your registered Don and Mike caller sign, which is to be placed prominently in your front yard.
So your neighbors know.
You have been profiled, tagged, and you are now in
the book. You're in the book.
Good day.
Good day, sir.
I said good day, sir.
I said good day.
Good day.
Good day. Robbie?
I like books.
I need your name.
It's Joe.
You're the truth?
Truth be told.
Okay. What's the first initial of your last name?
C.
Joe C, naturally. Heretofore, you're no longer Joe C. You are 000 stroke, 00 stroke, 0029. I must ask you, was it worth it?
It was worth it.
You see, that's the wrong answer.
Now, you know, we got the number on caller ID, so if you ever call again,
you will not be allowed on
something
the
awful will happen to you.
That is your last call.
That's okay.
Okay, goodbye.
Okay, so
I'm heartbroken.
All right, goodbye.
Nor are we.
What would you like to say, though?
I would like...
You can always get them like that.
That was satisfying.
Have you ever wondered what it must be like to strap on a gun and pin on a badge and be a lawman?
Mike was a lawman. How many in the book now? Total, Rob.
29, which means very soon we'll have our first 30 unwanted listener party.
That's pretty good. We've been doing that book for a good long time.
Our first inductee was April 19th, 04.
So that's, you know, hey, hold on. In like 10 months, we've only put 30 of our listeners
29.
In essence to death.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that is a wonderful record.
That's pretty good.
We show restraint.
Yes.
I think it's terrific.
Yeah. Well,
we've grown.
And I do like that feeling of strapping on a gun.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Doug M., Kamisha B., Tom M., all of them.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Dave M.
Yeah, I think that last guy was related to Keanu Reeves, actually.
Keanu Reeves.
But, hey, did you guys hear the news about the new Mark Burnett reality show, The Contender?
Congratulations.
That's two in a row.
I had to do it.
Yeah, you know, the Keanu Reeves line was not good.
Charter member in the Don and Mike exclusive listeners club.
We covered.
You are now a registered Don and Mike caller.
The survivor thing.
To all the privileges that come with said title.
Stay on the line.
Be sure to watch your mailbox for your registered Don and Mike caller sign, which is to be placed prominently in your
front. Did you get the number, Rob?
Yes.
You just hung up.
Profiled, tagged, and you are.
You gotta call him back.
The book. Good day. I said good day, sir. Good day.
Either way, he's still in the book.
Yeah, he's in the book. We'll call him back now.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get him on the line.
Because he said the Keanu thing.
Yeah, the Keanu, which was not funny. We kind of moved by that, but then referenced something that we had discussed in the middle part of the show.
The Survivor thing. Hold on, let's get Buzz's intro going.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It was Buzz.
He made it up.
And Rob is now calling the guy who just hung up when he was about to be put in the book.
No answer yet.
No answer? Not even voicemail?
I wonder what he must think.
Well, he'll be John D.
For John Doe?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Or something else.
Yes. That too.
Like C.
Yeah.
Talk.
John D.H.
Which incidentally stands for cat talk or chick talk.
That's right.
When I'm watching the view.
First name.
What's his first name?
Ryan.
Ryan.
Ryan D.
Ryan T.D. Yeah, Ryan.
Ryan T.D. No, it's got to be Ryan T.D.
Ryan T.D.
Ryan, we're very disappointed in you because you're in the book and you did not take your medicine. Just want you to know that you are now in the book and you are 000 stroke, 00 stroke, 0030. And we're disappointed in you, and I hope that hurts.
Mm-hmm.
This is Rob. Out.
Out. Like Seacrest out.
How many total now? Does that bring us to 30?
Yes, 30. The
30.
Dirty 30.
Isn't that nice? We got a nice round number out of it.
What did you say, the dirty 30?
The Hall of Infamy.
I think in a way, we got 30.
The dirty 30.
We got 30 on the dirty 30 list.
Buzz?
Yes.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
How are you feeling anyway?
I feel great.
How
I think
are you
I'm
anyway?
Well.
Good, glad to hear it.
Yeah.
What's straight ahead on the news and comments tonight, Buzz?
Coming up, so is Michael Jackson very, very ill? An update on his health.
I don't think so.
Wow.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned for news and comments
coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
And incidentally, Mike?
Yes?
A great call with that going to the phone.
Thank you.
That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Broadcasting with a belated sense of urgency, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
www.donandmikewebsite.com. Audio highlights, daily downloads, and the logs of the show and the pictures and the Morris Jones movie will be up there. Time for Buzz's News now. Buzz tonight brought to us by... Oh, smoke break.
This is good smoke.
Smokers break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke break. It's a revolutionary tablet for smokers. Get it now at fine retailers. Tonight after our show on WJFK here in Washington, Joe Gibbs will be doing a phone-in thing with the fans.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Because he's mad at the other radio station. They treated him badly, so now he's here.
Yes. That's 7 o'clock?
I have a poem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Hey, Coach Big Mouth. NASCAR is down south. In comparison to the NFL, it's a perk. But I'm a DJ saying you're a jerk. You didn't like that one?
I loved it.
I got one more.
Oh, good.
Dear Joe the Jerk. Come on, I'm kidding. You're great and actually thrilling. I'm a lover, not a fighter. The only true guy I hate there is Dan Snyder.
That's right.
Little germ.
There we go.
A little better. Joe. So Joe's coming on.
Oh, yes.
Joe. The Joe Show tonight.
Yes. What are you looking at me like that for? Stop looking at me. Now, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Don't look at me in that
tone
way.
Of voice.
Don't look at me like I'm like the adult that walked in while you were playing with matches. Hate that look. I hate that look more than any other look. You did have matches.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there, Buzz.
In court yesterday, Michael Jackson was wearing a red satin shirt.
You know what it was like? Hold on. You're right. It's almost like I was standing at the toilet, and I had like two packs of matches.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I was getting ready to light them both.
Right.
And flush the toilet.
Exactly.
And you walked in. You just gave me that look.
What are you doing, sir? Mister? You're all through here at Faber.
You're through at Faber.
No more Delta.
You're through at Infinity. All right, Buzz, I'm sorry. Lead story time.
Yes, Michael Jackson. Yeah. In court yesterday, Jacko was wearing a red satin shirt for Valentine's Day inside a gold brocade vest and a dark suit.
That sounds like exactly what you were wearing yesterday.
Similar, but not really exactly the same.
Well, it was Valentine's Day.
That's right. Well, after being introduced by the judge, he turned to some prospective jurors in his child molestation case and gave them a little wave. This morning, Jackson's lawyer reported that his client was, quote, very, very ill. He said that Michael had collapsed on his way to court and was taken to a hospital where he'd been admitted to the emergency room. There was vomiting, we now know.
Hey, what happened?
I'm going to be sick to my tummy.
Doctors have reported flu-like symptoms. They've put him on an IV to restore the moisture, hydration to his system.
I'm so I got the sick poops.
Do you think it would be like that story if we heard about when they pumped Rod Stewart's stomach?
Oh, God. Oh.
I think that's what he's throwing up.
Oh,
that's
dear.
Nasty.
jury,
what they found.
The jury selection will continue next Tuesday, a week from today.
So he gets a whole week off because he's sick.
That's right. Well, it took me about a week to get over this flu. So if he has what I have.
But you were here every day, though, Buzz.
Yes, I was.
I had only circus peanuts for dinner.
No IV for me.
And cotton candy.
Yeah.
That's all I ate. And also all sorts of carnival food.
I hate circus peanuts.
I love them.
I don't mean the actual peanuts you get at a circus.
The candy, the pink marshmallow candy.
Pink or orange.
Right. Right.
Yuck.
Uh-huh.
Circus peanuts.
Are they the worst?
They taste like banana. They're delicious.
Yes. I hate them.
Yeah, marshmallow banana.
If I want something like that, give me a good old Peeps around Easter time.
Ever microwave Peeps?
No, but I'm guessing you have, Rob.
Yeah, they like quadruple in size and then harden to something useless. But while they go, it's amazing. You must watch it.
You mean you do it just for the visual effect, not
absolutely
to eat them?
Do you ever microwave Peeps?
Rob.
Do you know what? Another thing is, Rob's
when he wasn't practicing theater arts, he was doing things constructive in the kitchen.
Can't take full credit. Again, it's one of my father's office tricks. Gather around, they're getting larger. I'll need a paper plate.
My God.
Your dad. Intruder.
Make sure you Rob's dad is named Bob. Make sure you tell Bob that one of these days we're going to talk about his trip to the Korean grocery store.
Oh, the Super H Mart.
And the pictures. We don't have time now.
No,
but
there is a photo.
So microwaving Peeps comes from him?
Yeah, all the good party and office tricks come from my dad.
Really? Is there another one you can think of right away?
Well, he's just finished up the season of the Dirty Conversation Hearts.
What? The what?
The Dirty Conversation
Hearts. Dirty Conversation Hearts.
You know those little things that you give out like that says love you or something? Yes. Yeah, little kids give them out.
He gets a micro Sharpie and turns them over and writes dirty things on them and hands them out. He's quite popular.
So now that they know that at the office, he'll be the culprit, right?
Well, no, they come to his office together.
Oh, they know it's him by request.
It's a calling card. And occasionally he actually does some work.
Oh, there's ink poisoning. I feel sick.
Tomorrow I'll tell you about bar crabs.
Really?
Bar crabs?
Bar crabs. Wow.
Or unless you want to know now.
I'd like to know now.
I do. What you need is an orange.
Yes.
And a paper towel.
Yeah.
And what you do is you put the orange on the bar. This is more of a bar trick than an office trick. And then you twirl the corners of the paper towel so it sort of gathers up.
Yeah.
And you make eyes on it. And then you roll the orange, and because it's not perfectly round, it moves like a crab.
Are you going to do that at your place now, Mike?
Oh, it'll be a regular. It'll be a staple of the entertainment.
Been given a new route so you can do behind the bar.
I just figured out a way to have
you. You always can have a table waiting for you at Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Cheap entertainment. That's the way I'll do it.
Poo-poo it if you will, but I guarantee you would laugh.
Rob, you're invited. Come out and train them all.
and at Easter, giant peeps.
Yeah, right.
Exciting.
Actor Robert Blake stared blankly through most of his day in court yesterday. He seemed emotionless until the prosecution, in wrapping up its case, played a secretly made tape recording of Blake talking about his wife's family as monsters.
They're monsters. They're her brother, her father, all of them. They're terrible people, man.
And then Blake began to cry.
They're just the worst I've ever heard.
Loudly.
I can't.
Like that.
I put them peeps in the microwave.
It wasn't precisely clear why this particular piece of evidence pushed him over the edge. The 71-year-old is facing life in prison for the murder of his wife, Bonnie Lee Bakley.
Have a bar crab.
Today, his lawyers began their defense of Mr. Blake.
Man, I tell you right now, but none of them circus peanuts.
A tank.
Tastes like garbage.
A tank that holds drinking water for 17 towns is being decontaminated now that they've found a dead body in the water.
I got hiccups.
Oh, that.
I'll drink to that.
Nasty.
Late last week, folks in 17 northern New Jersey towns were told to boil their drinking water.
No.
Schools closed, and so did some businesses. The body.
Hey, Charlie Jones.
The body of a female chemist, a water tester, was found last Wednesday when the tank was drained. She'd been missing for over 13 hours.
Chemistry.
There's been no evidence of contamination of the water. The warning signs went up anyway on the drinking fountain.
There's a hair in my glass.
Now that the plant has been heavily chlorinated, the tank that gave up the body is back online, and today police are saying it wasn't an accident.
Waiter.
Or suicide.
I didn't ask for tomato juice.
It was murder.
Murder.
I think she was pushed. They say she couldn't have jumped or fallen on her own.
Did you say murder?
I did.
Say murder? No. Did you say murder?
I said murder.
Play the percentages.
The tough thing about suicide, ask Romeo or Juliet, is getting the timing right.
I heard it's painless.
In London.
I heard that on a MASH rerun.
Yes.
Right, you're king of that. You're one of the kings.
King of suicide. Suicide kings.
In London, a man with testicular cancer hanged himself about 8 months after being diagnosed with the disease. He didn't want to face the agonizing death, so he ended his life more quickly and certainly.
He was well hung then.
And he did so just before getting the letter from his previous doctor telling him that the cancer treatment had been successful and that he was now completely free of the disease.
That's like a feel-good buzz.
Isn't it?
And hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Suicide Blonde.
Oh, that's another
song by NXS.
I know.
That's the band you love with the guy that did the thing you do with the baggies.
NXS. Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
That's right.
Yeah, Michael Hutchins, the autoerotic asphyxiation.
That's it. That's what Buzz likes so much.
This is a good squad.
For the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Yes. For the second time in the last few months, the U.S. National Missile Defense System.
Hold on.
Yeah. What? Oh, suicide stuff.
And you don't have this one, and pitchers and catchers. Suicide squeeze.
Yes, suicide squeeze.
I am king of the suicides.
Suicide king.
Winner! King of suicides.
That is a good one. Suicide squeeze.
So for the second time in the last few months, the U.S. National Missile Defense System has failed its test. Yesterday, an interceptor missile failed to launch from its base on an island in the Pacific. The Missile Defense Agency says it's investigating. So far, they know the problem was not with the missile itself, but with its ground support system. Test launches cost $85 million apiece. But government officials say that when one fails, it's not a significant setback.
No.
The last failed test was December 15th. In tests before that, the system worked 5 out of 8 times.
5 out of 8.
Yeah.
That's good odds.
Better than half.
That's good odds,
yeah,
Buzz.
No problem.
Yeah. I'll take that.
President Bush officially asked Congress.
Did you say 5 out of 8?
5 out of 8.
Play the percentages.
That's what we're doing.
We can keep that forever now.
Yeah. That is so handy. President Bush officially asked Congress yesterday. Wars in Iraq and Afghanistan passed $300 billion.
Pass the savings on to us, the consumers.
We are.
And we're going to give you the best war consistent with quality.
Democrats are expressing concern about what they call the Wild West accounting of defense contractors. A watchdog group
Wild.
A watchdog group says because of this accounting, nobody really knows what we've gotten for our money in terms of the billions that have been spent on rebuilding Iraq. President Biden is also pushing for the permanent implementation of some parts of the Patriot Act, which are due to expire later this year. Those parts were supposed to be temporary post 9/11.
Hey, make that thing permanent where you can kick people's doors in.
Patriot Act.
Starring Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Yes, sir.
And always fasten your seatbelt because you never know when your vehicle will slide off a mountain pass and plunge 400 feet down a cliff. That story when we come back.
Well, thank you.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
How are you anyway?
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
Ah, Phil Spector. Before he killed that gal. I mean, I really feel Spector, but it's Phil Spector's Wall of Sound.
Right.
And now here's Buzz. I was going to say, Phil Spector look-alike, but
not
back in the day
so
when you had the fro.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he grew his hair like down to his butt, he'd look like Phil Spector.
Well, like your wedding picture.
Mm-hmm. With my afro.
Yeah, with your big afro, your puka shells.
Mm-hmm. Phil Spector House of Wigs.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. Always fasten your seatbelt because you don't ever know when your vehicle might slide off a mountain road and plunge 400 feet down a cliff. It happened to six people in Durango, Colorado, Saturday, and police say they're all alive because they were all wearing their seatbelts.
Hey, is that why they call that the Dodge Durango?
Yeah.
Yeah. Were they in a Durango?
They were in Durango.
Oh, right, they were Colorado. in Durango.
They were just in a van.
Durango.
If that's the case, then where's the town named Ram?
Ram.
Five of the victims were...
And I'm planning on visiting Touareg.
Five of the victims were able to get out of the wrecked van and climb back up the 400-foot cliff with the help of some rescuers.
Welcome... Welcome to Suburban. We're just 10 miles south of F-150.
The sixth person had to be brought up on a stretcher. By the end of the day, the sixth one was back on the road with just a few bumps and bruises.
Oh, Christ. Look at the next two towns. Hummer and Escalade.
Welcome to Hummer.
Hey, let's visit there. Desperate Housewives is an enormously popular TV show. It even beat the Grammys in the ratings this week. So.
I got hiccups.
My wife loves that show, Buzz.
So it's actually, so do I. So we'll indulge the popularity of the show with this story from the New York Post about how real-life Desperate Housewives really are getting it on with their gardeners and other hired help.
Really?
The Post quotes a young carpenter who says he gets hit on all the time. Quoting Pete, you've got these bored housewives who aren't happy with their marriages. You'll be working at the far end of the house, and they come in wearing spandex and a belly shirt and say, if you need me, I'll be in the shower. Quoting a repairman named Robert, a lot of these women are gorgeous. They'll come out in a nightgown. Sometimes it's unbelievable.
What was the guy's name?
Robert.
The first message is, Robert the mailman.
There he is.
The intruder.
In sports, is it too late to save the hockey season?
This morning, I'm very curious about that.
This morning, both sides gave significant ground in their negotiations. The players now say they'll accept a salary cap. The league's backed off its demand for a link between revenues and player costs.
You know, Mike, I don't follow hockey, but what would the season be like, 20 games?
It's for me, as somebody really who I said the other day, if they cancel the season,
you wouldn't
I'm done. You know, it's psychological more than anything else. I will not go to another game. If
However,
they cancel the season, I'm done.
If it's like 25 or 30 games, then it's really...
All or nothing.
All or nothing. It'll be like a sprint. But seriously, they better fix it. I don't want hockey to be the only sport that's ever been canceled for the season. It's ridiculous.
They're still talking money as time continues to run out.
It's insane.
Jose Canseco says steroids make you super.
Yeah.
Is that for Jose?
He's a good guy,
He never would have been a major league ball player if he hadn't taken them.
I have to be honest. He poked me in the buttocks.
With a needle?
You're not the only one, Don.
I think it was a needle, Mike.
Oh, my God.
He'll say more about all this on tomorrow night's edition of 60 Minutes. He'll also blow the whistle on Mark McGwire and others. And have you seen the tape of the woman running away from a marriage proposal at Sunday's Orlando Magic game?
I was talking with you about this.
That's right. Guy popped the question in front of thousands of fans. She ran off the court in tears.
Too great.
Oh, my God, because she didn't want to say yes.
Well, you know, those things are always a mistake to begin with. Yes. Anytime you've got to do that, you know the relationship is doomed. But what's so great is that it's up on the screen, and you've got the announcers, whatever the Magic Network is.
And he wants to get down on one knee right now.
And they show this bitch go... She bolts.
Oh, boy, that's...
She bolts.
Ouch.
She runs.
Well, he wanted to do it where everybody could see it.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, a dozen members of the swim team from a high school in Warren, Michigan have been suspended. They drove to their coach's house Sunday and left a bottle of Gatorade on her front porch with a note that said it was the Thirst Quencher Award. But it wasn't Gatorade.
Oh, no.
It was a Gatorade bottle.
I heard this.
Filled with liquid supplied by the swimmers.
Okay.
The boys now say they're sorry and meant no disrespect.
You're in luck.
Why would the coach think anything different?
That's urine.
You're in a lot of trouble.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, my God. Yes, we gotta go. Normally we say, well, we always say thank you for listening. And stay tuned for Ron and Fez.
Right.
However, stay tuned for America's newest shock jock, Joe the Jerk. And don't miss Looney Larry.
Yes.
On with Joe the Jerk.
Very exciting.
Coming up next here at WJFK. And everybody else, enjoy your get the Lud out or whatever runs after us. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Glad you're feeling better. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good call with that phone scan, Mike.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Kidding. Kidding. Really kidding.
Yeah, I know.
I know. You?
I've found that most marriage proposals are mistakes.
Do I wait here for Coach Gibbs now?
No.
To be the first caller?
No, we go to commercial. Go out the door.
Hello, Joe? Joe, it's Don. It's Don from Virginia. Yeah, okay.
Good show, Mike.
This is the Don and Mike Show.